Are you ready for the Low Bros Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Ross has four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bonesaw rips off his shirt, yeah? And it says, Chuck your law. Big dirty tricorder.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I won't want to sign just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm so embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
Brexit is done. It's in the bag. It's done. It's finished. Completed it. It's done. It's finished. Or is it? Because last week it came out that, like, yeah, Brexit, it's done. It's easy. It actually turned out pretty simple in the end. Pretty straightforward. So Britain is going to leave the EU, except that it's not, for 5 years when it can get an extension, or but it'll also leave now. And there's going to be a single currency, but there's going to be two currencies. Britain is not going to be a part of it, but at the same time is going to be a part of it. Northern Ireland, the thing with Northern Ireland is we're all like worried about the backstop. The backstop's gone. It's all about consent now. You know what consent means? No means no. Yes means yes. You have to be enthusiastic or something. Like, there's a lot going on. It's sorted out. That's it. That's Brexit in a nutshell. And then all Boris Johnson had to do was he agreed it with all the world leaders. So all he had to do was agree with it in Parliament. He did, but he didn't. And, like, there was a vote where he won, but then he lost. And so, yeah, Brexit's done. That's it. Simple. What was all this worrying about? Guys, as we get kicked off here, on another edition of Low Blows, Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, and Corporate Keane in the house, as always. Guys, with Brexit in mind, what are some of the archaic rules in professional wrestling that you guys don't understand?
Does Brexit mean I can't drive north to buy fireworks and 5p ibuprofen anymore?
You can, but you can't. And if you do, you might be punished, but you probably won't. And you have to use pounds, but they also accept euros.
So
yes,
okay.
And no.
Wrestling rules, I'm going to be honest, even though I am a professional wrestler, I don't understand a lot of the rules. I rely very heavily on the referee to tell me what I can and can't do. This isn't really a wrestling rule, but like, I don't get automatic rematches when you lose a title.
Okay.
I don't get why you get a second opportunity if you're a loser.
Right.
I just don't understand it.
Okay.
Like, other sports don't work like that. Like, yeah. People don't lose, like, a football match for a cup and then get another shot at it. They don't automatically get put back into the final.
Yeah.
So, like, why do we do that in wrestling? Surely if you lose the title, you should go back down the pecking order because there's other people who are building momentum. So why do you get slotted back in?
Should you be like considered a like number one contender that people then have to beat? Like, do you start at the back of the queue because you were the champion a second ago? Or does the way you lose count? Like, for example, Conor McGregor against Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo shouldn't have got a rematch. He lost in 38 seconds. Or should he have got a rematch because he got caught? Do you know, does the way you lose matter as well? Like, if you lose emphatically, should you not get a rematch? But then if it was a close fight or there was controversy, should you get a rematch?
Like, maybe if you lose in a triple threat and you didn't get pinned.
Right, that's fair.
You should be put back in. But Keane's looking at me so angrily I can see.
Yeah, Keane's getting wound up.
But I just don't understand, like, if you lose cleanly in a one-on-one fight,
right,
why are you still considered the number one contender?
Okay.
No, like, I agree with you for the most part. No, yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Why are you getting a title shot, like, this Sunday when, you know, like, what? Who have you beaten over the last few months to...
I've beaten the system.
Okay, sure.
The point is, no one else has earned a number one contender.
You beat the champion. The last time you and Valkyrie fought, you won.
That's not how I remember it.
Did what you? Happened?
You the did. Match, you
the
won.
Match, then you got injured. That's
oh yeah.
Well, not that match.
The match before that got thrown out.
But like the last big OTT match, you know what I mean? The Defiant match.
You, oh, that was not the last
years
one.
Ago. I know, it was last year.
The last big match that we were involved in, Sammy Jane bet the both of us. Maybe neither of us should be in this match.
Well, she's
right,
champion,
stop so. Talking your way out of it. You've got a match to sell. And it's like, neither of us deserve to be here. Like, come on.
No, I'm pretty sure I have won matches on the way to this.
I mean, I'll take your word.
They haven't beaten you, haven't they?
Yeah, no one's bet me.
No one's bet me either, but I'm not challenging for the title. You don't win shit, like.
Maybe you should just had a word with CT Flexer and be like, come on lad, let me out. Like, there you go, that's all you have to do.
In terms of wrestling rules, archaic rules, for me it's got to be the tag rope. Never got it. I love tag team wrestlers. Like when I wrestled, I like would have been a tag team guy. I just never understood, like, it's so weak sauce. Like, there's this rope chaining you to the corner where you have to be. I get the theory where it's like, yeah, you have to stand in the corner, but just look where what's going on. Like, if he's not in the corner, if he's in the middle of the ring, say, that's not a tag. Why is it like a little tiny shitty rope has to stop these big muscle bound men, you know what I mean, who like can surely just stretch rope? And you see it all the time, they just like stretch rope out and lean into the ring. It's not stopping anyone or anything, but we have to have this little shitty rope that's there to protect what's it doing exactly? It's creating a distraction. It's like, why is that guy holding a rope again? Like, what's the story there? It's a really abject, and I know obscure thing, but it bothered me. Who's just stopping it? What's it stopping?
Stopping them cheating. Like, keeping them in the corner.
It's not, though.
Mentally, it is.
Mentally.
Emotionally.
Tied
to the corner.
I have a rope here. There's a rope. I cannot do any wrong.
They have to face their morals and be like, you know what I mean? Is it right to break this? You know what I mean? Physically they can, but can they mentally? I mean, I get that, yeah.
They do a lot. Are you just disagreeing with me now? Alright, what's your rule?
Alright, tag team wrestling then. Apparently in wrestling, right, you're only allowed... In tag team wrestling, you're only allowed to break the pin of your, like, tag team once in the entire match. If you do any more than once, you get disqualified. It's the like least enforced rule in professional wrestling. It's like our blasphemy laws of like pro wrestling. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you just sort of ignore them. They're there, but you ignore them. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know who fucking ignores them? Trainee wrestlers. Have you ever seen a trainee wrestler tag team match? It is all like, ref, look at that! And then the ref comes over and is like, what's going on? And then they like pull them into the corner, and then it's like every pinfall is broken up. trainee wrestlers are just waiting. They've just been waiting for a tag team match so long, they just want to do every trope at once. But that's a very good point. Do you think that we should bring it back then? Are you arguing for this rule to be enforced?
Or just scrap it altogether? I mean, I'm not sure. I actually didn't really think about this, to be honest. you could scrap it or, you know... Yeah, because it's only ever... Wrestlers only follow it, like, for example, in Survivor Series matches, where it's like... Yeah. Do you ever see when somebody gets eliminated first, and it's like, one of you's going to broke that, you know what I mean? Like, if you really want it. But
this
they don't.
Has literally never occurred to me watching a Survivor Series match. I just thought, again, morally, they'd all agreed to play by the rules.
Because they've got a time to stick to. It's a big week, so we're getting started with the big issues here on Low Blows. But we've got something that we have to bring up. Katie Harvey. 3 days from now, your comeback. It's here. It's happening. You're going to be in the National Stadium Saturday, like a dream match. You and Valkyrie. How's it sitting with you?
It's a weird roller coaster week, I'm not going to lie.
Okay, talk us through what you can.
Nothing's been going wrong or anything. Yeah. Like, both my elbows are still in their sockets. I've been training, you know. all that's good. And did have a slight panic when my gear maker texted me today to say my gear wasn't ready to pick up in the morning. I don't have another set of gear because my last set got cut off me in the hospital. So luckily she's going to rush it to me Friday night.
Oh,
so.
Thank God.
But like, I will have something to wear.
I will wear clothes.
I will wear clothes.
Go see Katie Harvey. Wear clothes this Saturday.
I might go have back to my debut where we all bought our gear and pennies. Where we just bought like shiny underwear a few sizes too big. And furry rave boots. Remember that?
Oh God.
Or like knee-high Converse. Yeah. Those are the days. But other than that, it's good, it's calm, it's ticking along. More and more people are texting me every day to say that they've bought tickets, people I wasn't expecting to come. People I used to work with, randomly just being like, yeah, I'm going to be at this show, by the way. Like, I haven't seen that girl in 4 years, and she's like, should be
holy
fun.
Shit.
Like, friends from home have texted me, they've all bought tickets, my parents are coming. Like, yeah, it feels a bit real.
Do you know what, like, I know obviously when that's you that... and you're hearing that, you're going to feel the weight of expectation. But you know what I think is nice about this situation personally? And tell me how you feel, because that's the important part. But for me, I'm looking at it and it's like, you know, when you're in the ring and the bell rings, that's it. Like, you're back. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's almost like, you know, you're going to put on a great match and it's going to go grand, obviously. But like, you know, you've done it. Once the bell rings, it's like, there, you came back. You know what I mean? And you're resting. You know, there's almost like, not that there's no pressure on the match, but the match is like kind of, you know, whatever the match is, that's what it is. That's fine. It's the achievement is when the bell rings.
Yeah.
You're there. You know what I mean? Or do you, like, am I missing the point completely?
Yeah, no, I get that. Like, yeah. Like, the thing I'm not looking forward to is the day at the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, wrestling's the easy part. Mm. You know what I mean? It's everything else that stresses you out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it, but I am also just like wide-eyed and anxious because like I've never had this big of a gap.
Yeah.
Since my last match. And yeah. You do convince yourself that you've forgotten how to wrestle.
But you've been doing it, like, you've been in training. Like,
yeah.
Every night, like.
But then you're training, and, like, you're doing stuff, and, like, I was doing a spot the other night, and I was training, and I didn't move, and I just froze afterwards, and they were like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I was like, no, I just haven't done that move in 9 months, and I forgot I could do it. You know that kind of thing? Like, because you're just, it is second nature going back into it.
Yeah, like, do you know what I found? And I don't know, maybe different strokes, but I found that when I'd be away from it for a while, like, I'd come back and I'd almost be better. Because, like, you lose bad habits too, do you know what I mean? And you just remember the things you did well. So how are you finding, or do you have to, is ring wrestling, because, like, again, this is the kind of interesting stuff we can get from, like, chatting to you and being active in this. Like, people talk about ring wrestling a lot. Is that a thing, or do you find that, like, you know, you get a chance to reinvent yourself as a wrestler? When we see, like, a new kind of Katie Harvey 3.0 or whatever on Saturday night. Like,
yeah, like, it's a mix of two. Like, for me, the ring rust is actually ring fitness. Hmm. Because that's a very different kind of fitness than anything. Like, I can teach 3 spin classes back to back and then train or whatever. I'm fine. A 10-minute match kills you.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, ring fitness is so different. So I've had to build that back up. But then the interesting thing is there's a lot of moves I can't do now that I did before.
Right.
So, like, I would have used things like missile drop kicks, cross bodies, all that. I can't do them anymore.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to yet.
Yeah.
So I've had to go back and, like, reinvent some stuff.
Yeah.
So I watched back a load of my old matches from when I first started out. And I actually started picking out stuff like, oh my God, like, I used to do that. Like, that, nice. I really like that.
Yeah.
Or watching other wrestling and being like, I'm going to incorporate that. Like, I don't know if you know, like, I have a double brown belt in karate. I used to teach karate. Like, I did it for 13 years. I used to compete in the world championships. So, like, I've started training like that again.
Yeah.
Now, I have also keeping in mind, you know, I train with Klong and Mike Bailey's on the show, so I'm probably not going to come out like the karate kid. But, like, I'm thinking of new ways to bring stuff in.
So, like, you know, there's... I know kind of, and you've explained kind of the way you approach shows and that you don't plan much until the day.
No.
But like you're obviously taking stuff in and thinking about like your overall game and stuff and what you're going to bring back in general. Can people kind of expect then to see like kind of a new meets old Katie Harvey then? That sounds like, you know, you're going to be bringing stuff back that's like really old. Like if anyone was following you like fucking years ago, they're going to be like, oh yeah, that's it. You know, like Phil with that Fight Factory when he brought back there. What's the move that he brought back there?
The weird
thing that everyone, that Larry Hado ended up giving and went everywhere. When he brought back that, and it's like it, would it be like kind of, there'd be throwbacks to like your older self because obviously you've looked through old stuff, but then you're getting a new version of you, is that?
Yeah, but nobody will recognise the old stuff because
yeah,
it's like,
course,
it was before, it's like pre-OTT stuff.
Yeah.
But I watched back one match that I had with Nixon in Progress, and like at the time I remember not really liking it. I watched it back and I was like, this is one of the better matches I've had. Why have I not done this stuff since? Like, so it's been nice. And then there's some matches I've watched back that I loved at the time and I'm like, that was shit.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So it's like this weird perspective thing as well, like, of just watching old stuff back, because normally when I wrestle I watch every match back, but it's in like a few days after the match. Yeah. I've never went back and watched stuff that's years old.
Yeah.
To take stuff from. Yeah, so it's weird seeing it.
Yeah, so, like, ultimately, look, you're going to be a ball of nerves. Like, yeah. that's a given.
Yeah.
And especially what you've told us about, like, how you feel coming up to the show, even as recently as last week. But, like, you feel at the same time, you're ready, you're good to go, and you know what I mean, you're set, it's there, it's all
I'm
there.
Excited, nervous.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. I'm really excited, but I'm really nervous.
Yeah.
But hopefully, like the story I told last week, I will not end up on a ball in the floor hyperventilating with Finn Balor looking at me like I'm a rookie.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to get to that stage anyway. It looked like, you know what I mean, you've grown a lot since then. So look, I feel it's going to be fine. It's a strange one because, like, you compared yourself, say, on Arsenal Blows last week to the Meg and the scenario, yeah. Meg Griffin. And that's going to the but at the same time, you know what I mean, you're a colleague, you're a friend, so I was thinking, like, how can we kind of mark this kind of you coming back, because it's a big deal. So I was thinking, like, we could kind of, and you don't know about this, but me and Keane, we've actually gone out and we've, like, we've got messages for you, inspirational messages. I don't know, like, it's a bit unnatural, that's not kind of the vibe we have here, like, but, you know, it feels like, feels right that we should say some nice encouraging words. So is that okay? Can you, yeah. Yeah? Yeah? So, like, Grant, so...
Keith said nice things.
Well, I don't know what he said, I just said, can you prepare something, and he said, yeah, like, whatever. And so we're going to go with that, that's okay?
Yeah.
And just a few encouraging words. Now, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know what to say, so... I'm going to read you out some inspirational Instagram quotes that I found. And these aren't really apropos of nothing. I've just literally Googled inspirational quotes. So I'm just going to pick them out at random. Act as if what you do makes a difference. It does.
Oh, God. Without the it does, I thought that's very...
You know who said that? You know who said that? William James. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
I never heard of him either. Leaders never use the word failure. They look upon setbacks as learning experiences. See that? Oh, you had a setback. Learning experience. There you go. There you go. Try to be a rainbow in someone's cloud. There you go. What? I don't know. Like, I'm just literally picking stuff up. Keep your face always towards the sunshine and shadows will fall behind you. There you go. There you go. And the last one, the last one I want to read out, it is something that I picked out especially for you with the moment that's in it, and like it's a quote, and it relates to your situation, and it's the only one I could find, if I'm being honest, but it's a nice quote. It's by J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings, a great writer, and it's something that I think, I don't know what it means really, but I think it'll mean a lot to you. And it basically goes, one of the greatest authors of all time said, don't put a lump of rock under my elbow again. So there you go. There you go. That's it. Inspirational quotes. Corporate Keane, I give you the floor. What do you want to say to Katie 3 days away from her comeback?
Like, it should be, like, alright, I suppose. Like, you need to think of the positives. Like, you look at, yeah, like, do you remember Bam Neely? Bam Neely from La Familia, back in, like, the late 2000s WWE?
No!
Well, Bam Neely was really cool, and, like, if you keep it up, you could end up like Bam Neely. And he was actually pretty alright. I'll show you a picture of Bam Neely if you don't remember him. There's a picture, that's pretty jacked. Yeah, I thought he was pretty cool. Bam Neely?
That's a cool thing. I don't have my glasses on. Oh,
yeah, that's a really
jacked dude. Okay. Like, yeah, he's a jacked dude. Yeah, everyone.
Yeah,
that could be you! That could be you!
Everyone back home. Oh, here's a way better picture, right? Everyone listening in, they know who Bam Neely is. They know that you could easily be as good as Bam Neely if you, like...
Yeah.
You know, you remember him?
No.
Look, you know what? He's so good. He just, boom, out of your memory. Like, yeah, just like that. You know what I mean? Just, yeah, so you could be like him. And, I mean, I don't know if he won any titles, but, like, he was there and he did all right, like, so...
You
can do all right, maybe. You know?
There you go.
I can't wait to make my entrance, and obviously Kane will be one of the first faces I see when I enter the ring, and it's just going to really set the tone, I think, for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, just be thinking Bam Neely, that's the goal.
Do you know what, you just put that in her head.
Yeah,
now there's going to be one second where it's like Bam Neely, you look at you there and just think Bam Neely. What are we chanting now? What are we chanting? This like we can start a chant here. At what would you like us to chant?
Oh God, I don't know.
You would chant like Katie Harvey because that's her name.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Chant their name. It's like a supportive thing, apparently.
Always a classic. There you go.
And then, or like, let's go, Katie. So it's like you don't. Katie doesn't know what to do, and then when they're like, let's go, she's like, oh, I have to go. And then like,
actually, if you could just shout like advice and reminders to me, like if she catches me with something, if you could just like we're playing the PlayStation game, if you could just shout what I should do next, I really appreciate
press
that.
R2. Press R2 and all
that. And you know what? The code word for when I get lost is Bam Neely.
If you come up to me and start saying Bam Neely, Bam Neely, you know I have no idea how to help. Like, it's like, we're the one that's for this place.
Well, there you go. And look, as we've established before, Keane, it's a big night for you too. You know, Freebird rule, of course, you're the Loblaws Pool Tag Team Champions. If you win this, you're like the OTT Women's Champion with the Freebird rule.
Yeah,
big match. So, like, there we go. A lot on the line here, guys. Saturday night, National Stadium. I'm going to be there. Keane's going to be there. Katie's obviously going to be there. It'd be weird if you weren't. It'd be really weird. It'd be anticlimactic if you weren't. We're going to talk about that. We're going to preview it later on. And we're going to talk about the match itself. Still to come on Low Blows. We're going to break down the week that was in professional wrestling. I have a nosebleed. Sorry, guys, you literally had to take a break there. I know you didn't experience anything different. I literally got a nosebleed. I'm such a fucking nerd.
Hey, you could have kept recording, like.
What a fucking wrestling nerd I am. Sorry, I had to break for a nosebleed. tough luck for me this Wednesday. Anyway, guys, we're going to get started. We're going to have a great show. Busy show coming up. But first, we're going to get kicked off, as we always do, with the news stories that have been catching our attention for the week. And while the lads are talking, like, if they sound distracted, it's probably because I started bleeding again. We're just going to keep rolling. Guys, it's time to get it underway with
Hot Takes.
Hot Takes, biggest news stories of the week, starting with what we've been told is actually relatively positive, hot one. With the week that's in, I suppose that makes sense, from the one and only Queen of Irish Wrestling, it's time for latest Harvey's Hot Take.
I'm not sure it's even a take, to be honest. I just want to put some positive vibes out into the world this week. Don't want any wrestling negativity in my life, and I do not want to get cancelled in the next 3 days, which is, you know, like, Dom Tuck is threatened to cancel me today. I've asked him kindly to push it out to Monday, if he's going to do it, just so I can get this weekend out of the way. I just wanted to have a chat about celebrity wrestling fans.
Okay.
I don't know about you guys, but, like, I love finding out my favourite celebrities are secret wrestling fans, and I don't know why, it's just this weird little thing that I have that makes them feel more normal to me,
yeah.
And just, it's like a weird connection. It's like, see guys, look, this is still cool. Like, yeah. Celebrities like it.
Well, like, I'm sorry to cut across, but like, I don't know, like, all my favourite celebrities are wrestlers anyway.
No, but
I don't
know any of your celebrities. You might, because I've been doing my research.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Like, this popped into my head because, you won't have seen this. Have you ever seen Kittle Tut? Oh, really? It's like this Kittle Tut, Addle Tut, and I forget the third one. They're like a trio of like really gritty British dramas. They're
right.
Fantastic. And their writer, director and star, Noel Clark, I follow him on Twitter. And then he puts out this tweet just being like, as all you guys know, I'm a massive wrestling fan. And I was like, I didn't know this.
Nice.
And like, he's like, and then he had like a whole thread breaking down AEW versus WWE. And
no
I was
way.
Like, how did I, like, I studied him in film college. I love him. I was like, how have I never known this before? And he's like, all these well-reasoned discussions and all the rest of it. And I was like, that's really cool. Like,
unreal.
And I went onto his Instagram and it's him like at wrestling events and stuff. I just think it's deadly. Impractical Jokers, celebrity wrestling fans.
Yeah.
They're always like in WWE. Jay and Silent Bob, wrestling fans.
Mm.
You know, they're on AEW's first episode and apparently had their WWE invitation yanked when they were shown on camera.
Oh.
So they were supposed to be on WWE as well.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Just loads of, like, obviously, like, Adam Sandler and all, massive wrestling fans. They always have wrestlers in it. My favourite wrestling fan is Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes!
Melissa Joan Hart.
Yes!
Loves wrestling.
That was awesome.
Like, she even had Kevin Nash guest star in Sabrina the Teenage
yeah.
Witch. And then, like, a load of them are mad into PWG. Mm. Cast of Magic Mike, always at PWG. Sophia Vergara, Gloria from Modern Family, massive wrestling fan. Like,
That's unreal.
I remember watching an old PWG show and she's just there sitting in the front row and you're like, that's gas.
We need to, like, every wrestling fan needs to carry around a picture of that. Like, on their phones, when, like, you get someone being like, eh, you know, it's fake, and it's like, Gloria likes it. Gloria likes it. That's a win for us. She is a good get, like, because it's like, there you go. You know how much you fancy her? Loves wrestling. Now you want to like wrestling too, don't you?
Do you know what? You just hit the nail on the head why I love it. When you're like, oh, that's a get for us. And I'm like, it is, like, we're claiming them. Yeah. Like, we're claiming them into our tribe and our gang. And it's like, see, we have them. Like, we love Joffrey, the best celebrity wrestling fan.
To you, Jack Leeson.
Like, how much did that pop everyone in the crowd? Like, excellent. More celebrities should like wrestling and then they should be friends with me.
There you go. Shout out to Second Captain's Owen McDevitt. One of the best part of Second Captain's podcast. Like, I'm a huge fan. I'm a subscriber to the Patreon and all. One of the biggest probably the biggest podcast in Ireland. Owen McDevitt, one of the hosts of it. They have a TV show on RTE. And one of my favourite parts of it is when he'll just start talking about 80s wrestling and the rest of the gang just are like, oh, shut up! And he just starts comparing big moments to like 80s moments in wrestling. Like, it's so class. Deadly. It's really cool. It is. It's a really, like, it's a buzzy thing. Is there anyone you got buzzed about here that they liked wrestling? Or, as you say, are all your, like, heroes just wrestlers? Pam Neely is a big wrestling fan.
Yeah, he's quite into the wrestling, so, you know.
Anyway, moving on. I'm going to cover something that, like, look, we've kind of touched on it before on Low Blows, so I'm not gonna harp on it too much, but it's coming up this week again, so it's worth remembering. And it's interesting, we will discuss it when we're discussing Devlin against Starr later, but, like, it's just the mad hot takes, and I don't mind it because, like when it's used for a good wrestling storyline and people play on it for the purpose of investing in a storyline, I don't mind it. So Devlin Starr doing it, it's genius because it's something that's going to push people's buttons. But they're playing a lot on, like, Starr being like, oh, WWE's the machine and this and that and the other. And it's kind of playing on even, like, Revro got it a while back. Do you remember they bought out Southside and stuff like that? And, like, people kind of getting angry with these companies for being a business is what they're doing. They're being a business. And they're like, a business's job is to feed itself. And it's not that it has to get bigger, but, like, in business, you have to get bigger or you will be overtaken because someone else will, like, everyone is robbing everyone's idea in business in general. Do you know what I mean? So you have to get bigger and bigger and bigger and eat your competition to a point. And that's the point of it. And when, like, WWE or RevPro or these companies do it successfully, they're only doing what other companies would do if they could. So, like, the famous the cool companies that you are like, well, this is the real, this is what I identify with. They do the exact same thing if they could, and if they didn't, it'd make them a bad business. Because if they were, like, if they didn't expand, if they didn't grow, if they didn't try to take out their competition, if they didn't have a certain amount of ruthlessness in doing so, they would have another company that would come along and be ruthless and then do it to them. So, like, again, I don't mind it as much, so I'm not worked up about this. I'm not hot because it's like, it's making Devlin Starr really cool because it's getting people hot on both sides, like, and picking sides and getting into it. And we'll discuss the storyline and how we feel about it. Because even, like, even though, like, you step back and, you know, it is a storyline, you still have to take a side. You still have to have a stance. You still do, like, identify with one side over the other. Like, and that's what makes it so effective and such a good feud. But, like, so I don't mind it, but ultimately, I try, like I said last week, and step back and, like, look at it objectively and, like, put myself in other people's shoes and then see how I'd feel and how I'd act. And this is where we have to go. If you want to be balanced, if you give a shit about the facts or the truth, that is the truth. All businesses operate this way. They have to, or they will die. They have to, like, if you think that, like, the cool companies that you like, if you think, say, Southside wouldn't behave the way RevPro did and buy out RevPro if they were bigger than them and in a position to do so, you're fooling yourself. You're getting worked. You're buying into, a lot of companies will play the, we're just the little guy, we're just the little guy. A lot of companies will play that, and they are, for the most part, because that's the angle that they succeed at. So that's how they market themselves. But that's what it is. It's a business. And at the end of the day, if you want to stand back and be taken seriously as an opinion maker in wrestling, if you want people to actually respect what you say and come back to it and not see you as a fair weather kind of fan who just blows with the wind and opinion changes based on this and that, then you do have to respect that. That is the logical view, that we can't slate businesses for being businesses. They are what they are and they're going to grow. And it's WWE, yes, they may have killed the UK indies, and yes, we feel the pain of that, so to speak, like in certain ways, but at the same time, it was always going to happen. It was always going to happen that way. If they were a victim of their success. They got big. WWE came in. They swooped in and they took a lot of talent. And they offered people like the shiny, and the people took the shiny. And then it's like that's a logical way to act. It was always going to happen that way. So instead of getting angry, just accept it. And a way you can productively do that is by supporting, instead of like trying to give more attention to WWE and to RevPro by slating them and bitching about them. You can just support and be positive about what you do like. Now, hey, I'm in danger of getting cancelled, so I'm just gonna leave it there and quit while I'm not that far behind. But anyway, that's just my take, just my two cents, for what it's worth. Probably not a lot, but hey, there we go. Anyway, moving on. Last but not least. Corporate Keane, don't start a war, because I have a feeling you might.
Yeah. So I was watching Bound for Glory like this past Sunday, and Joey Ryan made his debut in Impact or Return or whatever it is. And this is just like I don't like shitting on wrestlers, you know what I mean? Like that much. I'm not really into it, but in the argument of like realism and all that shit, I'm always on the Joey Ryan side of things, where it's like, he's ruining the business because he's flipping people with his dick and all that. I think that's deadly. Yeah. But my issue with Joey Ryan isn't the realism. I'm not going to go Jim Cornette and be like,
I thought you were.
No.
I was going to be like, that's such a twist.
No, I think that's fucking cool. Like, you've never touched his dick. How do you know he doesn't fucking... You have, haven't you? And it does...
Context. That was directed at me and in the context of a wrestling match for the people listening at home.
Well,
it's not trying to scandalize her 3 days. It's trying to get her cancelled.
But it's a magic dick. Am I right in saying that?
I didn't actually touch it.
What?
He tried to get me to, but I said no.
That's probably
smart.
And
I pulled out a rape whistle.
There's the clip for the next show. Not even Joey Ryan. It's like, I didn't actually touch it. He tried to. Read it here about Katie Harvey's scandalous past.
I am regretting everything out of my mouth in the last 10 seconds. That was the spot we did, though. I shouldn't have said that word, but I did pull a whistle to alert my teammate Justy what he was trying to do.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. So my issue with Joey Ryan is never the whole realism bullshit. It's nothing to do with that. That's never been my issue. Are you okay, Rick?
I can't say what I was going to say. Hey, it's all
fair. All right. So my thing with Joey Ryan is just that I think the whole thing has kind of gotten a bit stale.
Oh.
It's not that I'm anti, it's not ruining the business. Like, It's great if you find it entertaining and all that, but I just don't really anymore. It's like when a wrestler does the same cool move over and over again, I'm like, oh, it's cool because it's, an impressive feat of athleticism, for example. But the thing about Joey Ryan is that his whole thing is it's supposed to make you laugh. But it's like you're telling me the same joke over and over again. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It's not that it's bad. If it's your first time seeing it, it's fucking great. You know what I mean? Like, I do support him in that sense. But I just want to see something different. Do you know what I mean? It's like when he came out and did his whole thing in the Gauntlet match, and I'll get to that later, but I was kind of just wasn't really into it. And I'm not really, there's no match that you can put Joey Ryan in now that makes me go, oh yeah, I really want to see that. You know what I mean? Because it's like I've already seen it. You know what I mean? It's kind of, they're all the same, like, so I'm just not really that into it. And I'd like if you just change it up a bit. You know what I mean? It doesn't even have to be like a dead serious competitor or anything like that. Just something different. I don't know, that's just my opinion on it.
If you get, say, a porn star wrestler, Like, if you get a wrestler with any gimmick, if there's a gimmick that we love, and it's like, right, I get this gimmick, and I can't wait to see all the different spots they do and how they creatively bring this into a match. Yeah, I get it, because it's like, you're all building towards this one big spot, you know what I mean? Whereas it's like, you know, yeah, like, he's kind of playing the hits now at this stage. So I do actually get it. I do like the idea of you going full Jim Keane.
No.
but like, yeah, no, I actually do agree. That's a fair point. All right.
I get what he's saying as well. I was ready to have an argument because I have a lot of time for Joey Ryan, but I get what you're saying in the wider context of wrestling. For me, I still enjoy his matches because for me, he's a real live wrestler.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
a great
what I mean?
Point.
Like.
Yeah.
Like two matches I've seen him do for OTT, or the three matches, they're very much for the live crowd.
Yeah,
and I've really enjoyed them.
Yeah, anytime, because I've only seen him wrestle like once or twice. I was like, maybe it's only once live actually in OTT, but like, yeah, it's like, it's a lot funnier. Yeah, when you're watching it in person, that point, do you know what I mean?
Maybe it's one of them things that he just doesn't translate. And I know what you're saying about like, oh, he did the same stuff on Impact, but like, how much of that was a new audience for him?
Yeah,
so
like,
he kind of does have to play the hits a little bit on. It's his first, like, it's his first big TV exposure, right?
Yeah, he was on Lucha Underground, but
that was too big.
I don't know. You see, I didn't really want a massive fight. That was kind of what I was going for here. But like, obviously, you know, if we all want to be reasonable and sound about it, like,
say something that'll troll her right now. Kevin Nash is shit.
That's not true.
Joey Ryan isn't as good as Bam Neely. There you go.
What a letdown, lads. Can you just fight already? Anyway, moving on. Let's fight about the good and the bad from the week. Starting with the bad, as always, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for...
Say something stupid.
Say something stupid. Worst of the week. Starting with number four, just something funny from Impact. Well, not even Impact, because I didn't watch Bound for Glory this week. I've so much wrestling. Sorry, Impact. I tried making time for you last year. I did. I put in a solid 4 out of 10 effort with Impact last year.
I did Impact, don't worry, man. I'll be covered.
But, like, I still did see this on Twitter, and it was pretty bad. They did a Twitch stream beforehand where it was literally, like, was it a show or kind of a fan convention?
This was, as far as I know, again, I didn't really see it, but I heard about it. It was kind of like a small show they did before Bound for Glory called All Glory, also something like that.
It's like Access, kind of.
Yeah, so it was kind of like all. It was. I really should look into it more. It was interesting. It was like all these different indie wrestlers, all kind of, and like a mixture. I don't know if it was Impact Lads in it as well, or I don't know what story it was, but it was like a smaller show. Yeah, it was probably for, like, you know, the fans that were there and stuff. It was pretty. It sounds interesting.
And they did like a Twitch stream during this, which was pretty much like, if you don't know Twitch streams, it's like, it's lads. Now you can get some like fancy Twitch streams. You can get people who put money in and stuff like that. But this was not one of them. This was a lad walking around with a phone, and a specific person's phone, which is what I'm going to get to. Because in the middle of like going through the fans and watching the show, that actually sounds kind of cool. Like, watching a show through someone's phone is different and unique. If it's not a big show that matters or that you care about, and you just want to experience a show in a different way, that's a cool way to go about it. Like, it's a way to get exposure. It's free as well, like, so you can just watch along and dip in and out. But then in the middle of it, I think we all saw the same tweets, if for those of us who are on Twitter. If you didn't, it was hilarious, because it's just like everyone just who was watching just freaked out at the same time. Because Josh Matthews comes along and he's like, "Hey guys, I need my phone. I need my phone. The battery's running out. I need my phone. Where's my phone? All right, this is done. This is off the air. This is done. We'll be back sure." And then like he realizes that like he's going out live to the world. They're seeing this. He's like, yeah. We'll be back. But like, yeah, I need my phone. We're gonna get a new phone." It's just like, oh my god, Impact, stop pulling an Impact. I'm sorry, but this is for me. Now, I put it low and say something stupid, even though it is pretty stupid, because this is for me Impact's unique selling point. This is what they offer professional wrestling. It's like high profile shitness. You know what I mean? It's like, this is when it's like, it gets talked about, and it's a shame, because like, I presume you're going to come on, you watch Bound for Glory,
yeah.
I presume you're going to come on and talk about what a probably decent show it was.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
But like, that's what
the world is talking about with Impact this week, because that's what they did, and it's totally avoidable. Just you have cameras. Like,
no, I think they didn't. I think that was why they didn't choose to use your man's phone. I think it was they had cameras that just weren't there or something. Like,
oh.
Yeah, something happened. Like, it wasn't like they just chose. I think, I don't know obviously, but I think that's what.
This doesn't happen anyone else. This doesn't happen anyone else. Only ever Impact. Like, it's crazy. But anyway, it deserves to be mentioned. Moving on, in a number three, what didn't you like about AEW? Controversial, Katie Harvey.
Well, the main thing I didn't like about AEW was the people watching it. The show is great. I love AEW. I am, every week I'm further on this bandwagon. I don't know if you've seen the whole thing about Marco Stunt kicking off on Twitter.
Yeah.
So basically, Luchasaurus tore his hamstring and is out, RIP my draft, even further. But rather than pull the team out of the tag tournament, they had Marco Stunt replacing him as part of the stable. So they had Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt against the Lucha Bros. Yeah. This match was deadly. I really enjoyed it. And like, the Lucha Bros were heel. I haven't really seen that before. I haven't seen a lot of their matches, but I think it was fairly new, judging by people's reactions. Was it? Keane, you'd be better probably to tell me. Ish, newish.
I think so.
they're like, no, they'd be like one of the more established tag teams within the promotion, because they've had the two big matches with Young Bucks on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But like, it's still a new promotion, so everything's new. Apart from like, the only thing which doesn't feel new in AEW is like Chris Jericho, the Young Bucks, Cody and Kenny Omega. They're the only people who feel like they have a fleshed out backstory. Everything else is like, oh yeah, this, yeah, cool.
I think this is the first match I've ever seen in Lucha Bros though where they were heel.
Yeah.
So that felt really new to me, and it was a really good story because the two lads are much smaller than them. But basically, people were griping that Marco Stunt was too small for this kind of big man small man match, and I was like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, it's professional wrestling, it's storytelling, it's choreography, and like, they're like acting like Marco Stunt insulted the Lucha Bros by being in the ring. Like, they were part of planning that match.
Yeah.
They agreed to take all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, no one insulted each other in that match, and it was a really good story. It was a really good match. And then people start kicking off because some people were saying, oh, he's like a young Rey Mysterio. And other people were like, how dare they soil the name of Rey Mysterio. And it was like, I think they mean the size thing and the storytelling thing. And like, you know, I don't think they're saying like that his level is the same as Rey Mysterio's, because it's clearly not. Rey Mysterio had been wrestling a lot longer at that age. And like, you know, a different style. And it was like, again, just people grasping for things to give out about instead of just being like, oh, you know what, someone got injured, they've had to sub someone in, they've had to make the best of a bad situation, and the match actually turned out really good.
Yeah.
But like, people just lost their shit over Marco Stunt. And like, I just hate when something like that overshadows how good the match actually was.
Do you know what I think it is? I think sometimes people want to talk about something, but they don't really know what to say. And saying it's a good match, just not really saying it, but they have to say something.
Yeah.
So they'll just pick on something. What was different about this? And will I get more attention if I say this is different in a good way or a bad way? And I think that's where that fell. Mm. Because like I said, like, if you watch it, it's just a good match. It's just like, this worked.
Yeah.
This did work. The crowd went mad for it. Nobody was harmed in it, you know what I mean? The Lucha Bros didn't look worse as a result. They're still badass. They win the tag team titles. No one will ask any questions. And Marco Stunt looked really good too. Like, nothing bad happened here. There was no negative consequences of any of this.
There's no reason to give out.
But I think people just, they have to have a say when it comes to like WWE and AEW and whatnot. Unfortunately, like, I know, look. We get an entire show from this, so I don't mind. If you want to talk.
The only other thing I didn't like, and you kind of touched on it, was Jericho retaining the belt.
Mm.
I 100% agree Jericho had to be the first champion. They needed that big name to get eyes on them, to get media coverage, all the rest of it. I just think, how cool would it have been if they just swerved everyone and put the title on Darby Allin?
No! Ooh.
Why?
Why? Because it's... No, like, you need to... You can just have him lose the title already. Like, that has to mean something. You have to build it up. Do you know what I mean? Have him, like, hold it for a while, and he's kind of, for me, I think Jericho's doing a class job as being like, you know, the focus. Like
he is doing great. Well, then maybe they should have put this match further down the line.
Yeah, I don't like having a title match when there's already a title match happening at the next big show.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it wouldn't be like, I don't like comparing it to UFC because it's different. But like, imagine like if there was like a US like Khabib was defending against somebody. Like on like UFC Fight Night,
yeah,
and then he, like on the next UFC 2-4 or whatever, he's like defending his title there, but it's already scheduled as if like he's guaranteed to walk through this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah,
like they're not
yeah.
like
okay. Think of it this way: what if the Cody match happened first, right? Jericho retains, and then what if he drops it to Darby Allin on the show after that? I think that's a great mission statement for a new company, because that's someone establishing a new main eventer, and it's not just going back and forward in WWE, guys.
Do you know when this worked? Do you remember Jericho won the belt from Triple H in like 2000 on an episode of Raw?
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome. And then Triple H won it back like minutes later.
Yeah.
You know, like they did it where, or if they, I agree, I'm kind of in the middle here. I see what you're saying, but I agree with what Keane's saying ultimately, because yeah, if you did, yeah, if Jericho has to build AEW a bit and he has to carry them on their shoulders until they're like, they're there and they're established like they are. Now, losing viewers, I wouldn't read too much into that. I'm not saying they're losing viewers. Like, you know, people are just, people don't watch wrestling live. I don't watch wrestling live. I don't think any of us watch all of our wrestling live. We watch it in our own time, however we watch it. That's just the way it is. So I don't worry too much about the ratings. But Jericho has to build them to a stage where they're getting a steady, good rating on TV. And he has to be the focal point, because he's the name value that they have. He's the guy that, like, any casual fan who's watched any wrestling over any period of time over the past 20 years is like, ah, there's Chris Jericho. What's he doing today? You know what I mean? If you're skipping by, you know it's Jericho.
Well, then I think they should have done a dirtier finish. I think they should have people interfere or something, because I think just making him lose that clean when he's being the unique person building such momentum.
Yeah.
You know, the one who hasn't come from a different promotion, the one who didn't really have a massive name before AEW, but he's the one that the fans have caught onto. So I think maybe they should have protected him a little bit more than had him lose clean.
What if this wasn't a title match? Does that not answer everyone's stakes? You can have Darby Allin just go 1-2-3. Oh, shit. Now Darby Allin's got a future title match. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, shit. Should he be in the Cody match? If he's not in the Cody match, yeah. And which, like, don't put him in the Cody match. Don't make it a triple threat. But if he's not in the Cody match, everyone's like, why isn't Darby Allin in the Cody match? You give him more momentum that way. Whereas, yeah, that answers Keane's thing, where it's like, why are you having a title match when you're advertising? Like, you're building Jericho versus Cody. We know who's going to win it. It's like the Cody match a few weeks ago, where it's like, oh, well, if Sammy Guevara wins, he's in the main event. It's like, oh, so Sammy Guevara's not winning. You know what I mean? This is the main event of your show. So, yeah, don't make it necessarily so predictable, like, because we knew Jericho has to retain here. Yeah.
Yeah, just build and throw in a new star that hasn't come from WWE or New Japan.
Yeah, I get that. No, I get it. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Talk to me about the bad from SmackDown. This is what I want to have a discussion with you about. I don't necessarily disagree. I just want to have a discussion.
Oh, I've went back and forward in my head so much about this. Shorty G, Chad Gable. Have you seen this yet, Keane?
Yeah.
It's so painful. Like, and this. Here's the thing. The promo was really good. Mm. And I love the message behind it, right? Mm. And I think it's great having someone given that message. But they're forgetting the very important fact of that he's not that short. Like, this just undermines everything that they're doing.
Imagine him sat next to Marco Stunt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he'd be a giant. Stuff.
Yeah, like.
I think me and Chad Gable are actually the same height, right? And I'm pretty tall. Like, I'm 5'9". I think so is he. Like, Daniel Bryan is in the main event of the same show.
Yeah.
And they're the same height. Like, I just don't understand why he's being lumbered with this Shorty G thing. And it's like they're pushing him, for me, into Spanky territory, where it's like more about the nickname than the wrestler.
Yeah.
And it's just, He's just building so much momentum. I'm like, don't do this to him. I love him so much. Like,
yeah.
even if they call him Shorty, I get the whole thing. It's like, I'm taking this back for myself. Why the G part?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, he's not a 90s rapper. I just don't get it. Like, it's just, oh.
It was one of those moments where, like, you could hear, like, he tried his best to sell it. Do you know what I mean? He did, because he's like, I have to act proud of this name. I have to have prayer. And so, like, but it's Vince McMahon's words coming out of his mouth. You know what I mean? Now, we don't know. We're not there, so we don't know if Vince McMahon came out with he didn't come up with it. We've watched this for long enough, we know. You know what I mean? You can read the recurring trends here. But, like, you know what I mean? It's like, Vince McMahon thought this would be cool. And then, like, he has to sell it and act really proud of it. He's like, no, wait a second. Shorty G. And it's like, not cool. Yeah. Not cool, bro. That's not cool.
That's a bit of a kill.
That's not. And he's just like, little smug smile on his face, like, everyone's gonna go, yeah! And everyone's like, that's shit.
I mean, the one reason I prefer SmackDown being live, but this would be a really good time to have a pre-taped, like, crowd going,
yeah!
Yeah. But like a completely different crowd, like
yeah, the guy from like WrestleMania 30 is just in shock, like I can see the WrestleMania 30 logo.
Like, I thought he did a good job with the promo, and I actually thought he was quite believable for the first part. And he's like, you know, forced me to look down deep inside myself, and I liked what I saw. Like, that's a really great message to put out there.
You're a sucker for a message,
aren't you? Oh, he's my Captain America SmackDown. Like, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm buying into him 100%. But like,
drafting him.
I was thinking about it. He was one of my choices.
He also wasn't that much if you're not going to draft somebody, I mean.
Yeah, well, we've clearly established I'm not good at drafts.
Chad Gable's going to go down with a horrific injury. Breaks both his elbows. Imagine. Do you know what? Like, the one thing I don't kind of like this. Do you know what it feels like to me with the Shorty G thing? It feels a bit like bullying. Do you know what I mean? Do you know when, like, people are like kind of like, it's a gang of mates, but there's one guy who gets bullied in it. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, they're kind of like, no, man, when we're saying that, when we're saying dick face, we mean it as in like, you know, dicks are like, you know, strong. And it's like, you know, trying to like, you know, positively frame bullying. And like, he used to go out and sell this. It's like, I'm taking this back, but it's like, I am not. And as well, like, on that as well, like, how many, like, ex-WWE guys have we seen that are, like, short in WWE, but then you meet them in real life?
Massive.
They're monsters. Like, they're the biggest person in the locker room. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Rhino always looks real short on TV. He's a monster.
Yeah. It's weird. It's mad. But, yeah, it is not the worst thing of the week, because that is reserved for Raw this week. This was, like... Lashley and Rusev, we've beaten this dead horse, but, like, it deserves to be mentioned, because it wasn't good, like, but Lashley and Rusev, Lashley and Lana, again, it's one of these weird cuts to Lashley and Lana's relationship, where the commentary just disappear, and it stops becoming a TV show, and becomes a telenovela, but not in the cool Lucha Underground way. It's just, like, it becomes a drama all of a sudden, and then, like, Lashley and Lana are, like, in a restaurant, and they're, like, we'll order, like, one spoon and dessert or whatever stupid cheesy shit they're doing. And then, like, the manager, they come back from the break, and the manager's like, look, we've heard Rusev's on his way, like, we just don't want any trouble, this dinner's on me, just please leave. And then Lashley's like, haha, let him come, I'm okay, I'll protect you. And then Rusev comes, like they have a match, and then the next segment Rusev invades the restaurant, and Lashley just shits himself. Lashley just, like, he looked totally surprised by it. He's like, Rusev, what are you doing? And Rusev just beat the piss out of him. Like, and then, like, it's like, what was your plan, Lashley? What was your plan here when you were like, let him come? Like, you were warned, we saw you being warned. Like, you should have been more ready for this.
I think he just thought Rusev was bottling.
Alright.
That's it. I just think, he probably just didn't think Rusev was going to show up.
Okay, fair enough. There was something worse for me on Raw this week, and it wasn't a very good show. Like, it was one of these shows, not awful, there were good things on it, but like, it was just one of these shows, like, I judge Raw by like how much I pick up my phone and just stop watching what's on, you know what I mean? Because 3 hours, it's hard not to, you know. And this was one of the shows I picked up my phone a lot for, but this was egregiously bad. They did like Crown Jewel this next week, and it's just, we have to go through this sorry, shameful period of being watching WWE and trying to be fans as they're promoting this thing that we're not about it. Again, we said it so many times in Loblaws. If you want to do your fucking corporate gigs and make millions, stop showing us them. Like, and now they're doubling down on it. It's like they're like, no, we're going for it, lads. We're going for it. We're all about Saudi now. And like, now they've started showing us the opening ceremony that they have, and they had clips, and this is so like tragic, because A, it's just uncomfortable, because it's like, oh, this feels dirty, you know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, you know, look at us just the lads performing for Hitler. You know what I mean? It's like, this isn't like, this is not a good look. This is going to be used against you, lads, in the future. But like, also as well, they had like a float with the Undertaker, and it was like a character destroying moment where the Undertaker standing on a float, having to like hold a rail in character, and then just like standing there, like just like rolling his eyes at the crowd, and the sound even like, yeah, and it's just like, what, like, how, like, what, like, the Undertaker was so well protected for so long, do you know what I mean? And now he's just being trotted out as if he's a fucking mannequin in a wax museum, do you know what I mean? It's like, why are you showing me this in character moment? Like, how am I supposed to buy into this? How am I supposed to keen fabe this? Like, the Undertaker, like they called the dead man back from the dead to perform on a float. Like, is there any way of keen fabing this or making this make sense in any way?
Well, he just wants to be on the float. Like, he can do what he wants. He's the Undertaker, like.
So, like,
he just wants to do it, like.
Just because he's a zombie doesn't mean that he can't, like, be on floats.
Yeah, no.
Probably needed a lift home from Nando's.
Oh, yeah.
That picture destroyed me. I don't know why I found it so funny.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. We can forgive that because it's, like, out of character. Do you know what I mean? But, like,
no,
here
no,
is...
I mean.
What?
I have no idea what you mean.
Not like, oh right, yeah.
Okay.
Your face is so blind. I've never seen one blind.
I actually thought I was having another nosebleed, so I better go see for that one. We move on to the good from the week because there was a lot of it. It's time for in at number 5, one from Raw. I'll keep this short. There was a lot of decent matches. Colm in work, my work wrestling friend, was very positive about Raw. Like, he turned around to me today and like he's just like, what did you think? And I was like, it was a bit shit. Like, I'm not being bad, like, it just felt like really bare and there was nothing going on. And he's like, do you not think it was so good that we had like loads of matches we didn't see before and loads of talent like getting opportunities? Like, and then he kind of sold me. Like, there was Sin Cara and Andrade got like 20 minutes. And like, yeah, like, well, I don't know, maybe it was like 10 minutes, but it felt like a really long match on Raw. And like, they just got to wrestle. They just got to have a good match.
Sin Cara, yeah.
Sin Cara's still a thing.
I thought he was gone.
No, the guy who played him originally that did all the botches is gone. Now it's just some rando. Okay. I think it's one of the clones or something.
No, it's, what's the name? Do you remember, I think that was, I don't even remember these, but remember like Hunico and Camacho?
Yeah!
I do remember.
Why did we both make that so much?
I don't know!
They're very obscure.
The one that's not in Gorilla's Destiny is...
One of them's in Gorilla's Destiny!
Yeah, not Tamatonga, the other one is one of the Hunicos and Camachos.
Yes.
And the other one is Sin Cara.
One of the Hunicos and Camachos. What a way.
I don't even know how I know this. Like,
Tangaloa it'd be then.
Yeah.
Alright, that's cool. So like, people are going mad for like one of the Hunicos and Camachos in the stadium this weekend.
I'm really excited for Saturday now.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. This is something that you mark out for, like, that's mental. Yeah, they had that, and then they had Rollins against Humberto. In like, again, another like reasonably long, and it's just an underdog match, similar to like Jericho against Darby Allin. It's just like, and it's like, it had a decent story as well. Like, Rollins is just like, Humberto's like, well, I don't necessarily agree with. By the way, I haven't seen Humberto before. This is my first interview. Oh. I don't watch 205 Live. Why is he a Power Ranger?
What do you mean?
Like, his gear is a Power Ranger.
Yeah, it's pretty slick gear, like.
I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just, am I missing something?
Have you seen the picture of, it's him looking at the TV sideways backstage, and they put Zordon on the TV?
Yeah, like, this is it, like, it's fucking, it's, I don't know, it's just, because he's so timid and nice. Do you know what I mean? But he's just wearing such outlandish gear. It's just like, it's like the guy, you know what I mean? It's like you go up to a biker, you know what I mean? And you expect, like, you see a guy in a big biker wear at a bar and you're like, hey dude, how are you? And it's like, oh hi, sorry, was anyway. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, I didn't expect it to, you know what I mean? But it had a really good match. Also, I want to give a shout out. You'd appreciate this. The Cleveland Browns offensive line, like, do you know the way they show, like, the footballers, army dudes in the crowd? They show the Cleveland Browns offensive line, and they're, like, real wrestling fans. They have fancy dress. One lad dressed up as Scott Steiner. Old school Scott Steiner, like, with the fucking thing and all, the tiara or whatever. What's it called? There you are.
It's not a tiara.
The chain veil. Yeah, the thing I'm gonna say. We all know what he was, Scott Steiner wore. He was fully dressed up as Scott Steiner. I'm like, real fan. There you go. What you were saying earlier about celeb fans. I'm like, Cleveland Browns, all right in my book. They went up a notch. And, like, they weren't on a notch, but they went up one anyway. In at number four, talk to me about SmackDown.
SmackDown was mostly good, apart from Shorty G. So I've been giving out about Kofi Kingston a lot and how angry I am that he's lost and, like, doesn't seem to care and has just slipped back into the team. And I didn't notice the first time I watched it, but then someone mentioned it and I went back and watched it again. So there's a promo backstage with The New Day and Otis and Tucker. And basically they're chatting and being like, oh, look, Kofi, you must be so upset you're not champion, blah, blah, blah. And Kofi's like, no, man, I got the power of positivity. Like, let's go do it. As he's saying the power of positivity, he's crushing a pancake and ripping it with one hand and letting it drop to the ground. And when I watched it back the second time, it's like a real sort of like true gritted teeth. Like, no, man, it's cool. I've got the power of positivity. And he's just like breaking the pancake really slowly. And I'm like, if this is like subtle hints being dropped that Kofi's not okay, nice. I am all for it. Like, all for it.
Where could that go? Could that be like, because we've seen that, like, if we're going through wrestling tropes, that's like the start of a heel turn or something like that.
Yeah,
it's sort of a major character shift. Like, that's,
now here's the thing, last night Xavier Woods got seriously injured and is probably out for 6 to 8 months, so that leaves Kofi and Big E. Means if Kofi's turning, he's turned on Big E.
Yeah, but that the heel turns are meant to hurt.
No, but I don't want to hurt.
Like, this is the thing, because what are they going to do with Kofi from here? The only way they can go back is to redo the exact same storyline, and we've been there. So what can they do apart from that? Like, turning them heel just is like, oh, there we go, we've got a whole new year or two of content. It's like, Kofi's not a young dude anymore. He's coming, he's in the autumn of his wrestling career. Do you know what I mean? Like, he could probably still go for 7-8 years. You know what I mean? We don't know anything about his health or anything like that. But like he's like, if you get a year or two long storyline out of this, like, you're fucking set. Do you know what I mean?
Have we ever seen heel Kofi?
When New Day started.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that'd be it. Like, but then they were so charismatic to turn face within a few months. So like, that's it though, literally. But,
like, imagine if he does get the Brock Lesnar match again or something, and it's like just with like a more vicious edge. Like, I just hope it is going somewhere, and like, I'm gonna be watching. I'm gonna be watching more closely now for these little things, because if that was intentional, it was so well done.
Do you know what would be cool, right? And we're just fantasy booking here, but imagine, like, do you remember Charlotte Ronda Rousey? And Charlotte went mental at her.
Yeah.
Because, like, she knew she couldn't beat her, so she just had to fucking just get the edge over her some way. Imagine Kofi and Brock with, like, that, where Kofi just loses his shit and starts just beating the piss out of him with a chair, and then it's like, oh, this is a new fucking Kofi. Do you know what I mean? Or Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Do you remember he turned as that match went on and just started getting more and more vicious?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be
fucking
cool.
And then Big E comes out and beats Brock Lesnar. Yeah.
But yeah, like, that could, like, revitalize everyone.
Like, the threes of Big E for, like, the big singles one, I think he's well capable of, like.
Because here's the thing, like, you know, why does there only have to be one New Day singles push? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Xavier Woods comes back. Now, sad, very sad to report, Achilles, that's a very serious injury. Like, so, like, there's a reason they call it an Achilles heel. But, like, look, he'll be out for a long time. But, like, here's the thing, if he's out, then, you know, there's something to come back to. Whose side will he be on? All that kind of stuff. There's a lot, I like this, you've got me thinking.
The 8-man tag that they were building to as well was deadly. It was just a really simple, lots of spots in it. Like, heavy machinery are great. Like, and the crowd were really popping for them big. I like the main event as well, which started as a singles match between Roman Reigns and Nakamura, and then they made it into a tag match. And the reason why I liked it is because, like, Daniel Bryan is so good at these slow turns, where he just changes little things every week that catch more and more on. And, like, even this week they finished with a handshake, him and Roman Reigns, and, like, that's such a contrast to Daniel Bryan a month ago.
Yeah.
But there's been no big, like, turning moment, you know? Yeah. It's just been these little subtle things. Bringing back his face moves, courage in the crowd to say yes again. I just think it's really cool. And, like, if it's leading me to, like, Daniel Bryan and Nakamura, I'll take the loss in the draft.
Oh.
When he loses his title, like, but that's money there, like.
Oh, amazing. That was on his bucket list of matches that you wanted to get to. Or will it just be one of these, like, matches that's a dream match and then we're like, oh!
This should have stayed a dream.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Sometimes don't live your dreams. That's a good from SmackDown. But in at number three, I want to talk about what happened on the actual Bound for Glory show.
Yeah, it was Impact's biggest show. Well, I don't know if it's their biggest show of the year anymore. It's kind of between that and Slammiversary. But either way, big show. And I thought it was pretty good. It was one of those things where, like, I actually forgot it was on, and then one of their wrestlers, I think it was Sami Callihan, one of them, is like, and once again, Impact kicking out of the park, you know what I mean? Best show of all time, whatever. I preferred Slammiversary. Like, I wouldn't say it was, like, the best show of the year and all that, but it was good. Like, there was, it started with a Gauntlet match, which is, like, I don't really know if it's, like, I kind of missed it. It was, like, a number one contender or a thing, whatever. It was intergender, which is pretty cool. It was all, like, Eddie Edwards, kind of all the big names that didn't actually have a match anywhere else.
There's four, you get a title shot, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what title it is, though. That's the thing.
I think it's you get a title shot at any title you want.
Oh, that sounds familiar. I think that was it. That's
you watched it.
Yeah, I'm really tired. I don't remember anything. But, the last, there was a few surprises. I mentioned Joey Ryan earlier. Can't remember the rest of the surprises. Except for the one at the end, which is really cool. Kylie Rae was the big surprise at the end. So that's very interesting. I hope she becomes a regular in Impact. I'll be well up for that. Like, that'd be really cool. The Gauntlet was really fun. There was, I really enjoyed Taya Valkyrie versus Tennille Dashwood for the women's title. I genuinely had no idea what way it was going to go. And that's why it was so interesting, because they're teasing, you know, I think they're properly debuting on Axis, like, now, like, whatever. Probably already done, actually. What day is it? Wednesday? I think it's Tuesday night they're on Access, so they might have already done it by the time this is, like,
if it's Tuesday they're on Access, then yeah, it's happened.
Probably. So I think their first proper show on Access is, like, has already happened. But they're saying, you know, under the new Access era, are we going to have, like, you know, new champions and all that? And I really did think, like, oh yeah, Tennille Dashwood, actually, I think she probably is going to get it. And she didn't, but it was a really, really good back and forth. I genuinely had no idea where it was going to go. A match that I kind of completely forgot about was it was a triple threat tag match for the titles. It was the North, which is Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, against RVD and Rhino, against Willie Mack and Rich Swann. That's who it was. And at one point, it's just I just love this because it was just so random. I don't know why. Like, it just made me laugh. Like, Rhino is going for a gore on, I can't remember, probably would have been the champions, but he's going for a gore. The crowd are like, yeah, gore, gore, gore. And Rhino's doing the whole thing, he's hyping up the crowd, and just as he goes for it, RVD just kicks him in the head. I was like, why'd you do that? he just takes out his bomb and then he's like, he storms off. Like, I mean, I'm not like I'm not against it, like, or anything, like, I'm just, I wasn't expecting it, because I'm just like, I thought they were just here for the, you know, nostalgia EC dub, and then this is kind of going to be their last show, whatever, and they'd go off and do something else.
Yeah.
But, like, apparently they're doing something with this, and I'm like, alright, you know what I mean? Like, like, you can do it if you want. Like, I'm intrigued, because I think the only time RVD was ever a heel, if he even was, because I wasn't watching really, was like early 2010s TNA. I think he might have been a heel then. But do you ever remember seeing RVD as a heel?
No.
I never have ever seen RVD wrestle as a heel. So it is intriguing. It's just so random. Like, what's your own Rhino? Like, he's only been like, he's been pals for a few weeks. It's not like he's done anything, like, I mean, maybe he has, we're just gonna have to wait and see. But this is, like, I am intrigued. I can't shoot on it. Like, it's funny, but, like, it is actually also kind of intriguing. Yeah. Alright, so the match of night then after that, right, for me, by far, was the ladder match, right? I fucking love this. This was a 5-way ladder match for the X-Mission title. Oh, it was so slick. Like, I love, like, remember, like, back when TNA was, like, TNA, and it was, the X-Mission would always steal the show. And it was like, yeah, there was the world title, but the X-Mission title was the real title.
That's
you know what I mean?
Watch, right, yeah.
Yeah, this was very reminiscent of that. Because the main event happened, right? It was Sami Callihan versus Brian Cage. I'm not saying it was bad, I just wasn't really into it, to be honest. But this match, I was proper.
I find that a lot with TNA. Like, even now, like, even when I watched a couple of shows last year, like, the main event is like, right, let's just do this. Like, yeah, it was like Austin Aries against Moose one time, and it's like, alright, yeah.
Oh, and then like Sami Callihan and
Yeah, I was watching it for Sami Callihan.
Yeah,
and
again,
that
yeah.
was the highlight, but like, yeah, I guess we gotta finish the show and decide who the champ is. Yeah. That's the thing.
So this match, oh my fuck. Right, it was a 5-way exhibition title. Tessa Blanchard, Jay Crist, Daga, Ace Romero, and Ace Austin. And it was just watching. I actually really, really, really recommend it. It was nice. So they just fucking killed each other. Like, it was great. Like, yeah, some I love Canadian Destroyers. Daga did a mad Canadian Destroyer, like, over the ropes, through a ladder. And then it was like, it was just, there's all sorts of shit. Like, Ace Romero climbing for the for the title, only for, like, Tessa Blanchard to push him off and, like, went over, through the table, and then the ladder, like, landed on him and everything. there's so much mad shit that happened. And, like, Ace Romero is fascinating to watch as well because he's fucking massive, right? Like, he's one of the biggest wrestlers I've ever seen.
Right.
Like, he's like 500 pounds, something like that.
The name Ace Romero, I've never seen him, I'm not familiar with him.
You wouldn't.
The name Ace Romero does not sound like a big lad.
Not
a big lad name.
Yeah, it sounds like a cruiserweight.
That's a cruiserweight name. That's like someone speedy who does the story.
You should say that because he thinks he's a fucking cruiserweight. You know what I mean? The shit that he does is like, shit. Like, he fucking. And I think he got signed by Impact, and that is great news. Like, I love Ace Romero.
Right.
I've loved Ace Romero for a while. I think he's fucking class.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely one to watch. I really do recommend this match. Lots of stories played into each other as well. Like, you know, you had like OVE, like, I think at one point Fult didn't interfere, did he? Or am I getting mixed up with the other match? I'm really tired, I don't know. But it was like OVE and Tessa Blanchard. You also had Ace Austin. You might not remember Ace Austin, but I did mention a few weeks ago that he was the lad who was pretending to be friends with like Alicia, but in reality he's just trying to like fuck Eddie Edwards' wife and all.
Oh,
and like,
yeah,
so he's like the little snake, and he's got a crucial role in this as well. Like, it's just, they're so, and yeah, obviously Ace Romero and Dagger are trying to prove themselves. They're kind of like the lads that we've seen maybe a little bit of, but they're kind of, this is like their first big match in an Impact.
Yeah,
kind of like,
yeah.
There's so much to it. It's really, 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 really good. I highly recommend it.
So, like, if you had to watch, like, if say someone's like, I don't have 3 hours to watch wrestling.
Just watch the ladder match.
Watch the ladder match.
Just watch the ladder match and watch, like, when it's back on, whatever, and, you know, to see if it's any good, whatever. Then, like, the match, the main event itself, I wasn't really hugely into, but, like, the promo before it, I thought was class. It was really, like, you know when, like, a wrestler kind of cuts a promo that it's kind of, like, they make it feel special. They make it feel like this kind of, like, you've heard, like, a WrestleMania match, but this is kind of, like, a WrestleMania promo.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this was. Sami Callihan was, like, he basically started by saying, right, cut the effects. Because every OVE promo starts the same. And at this stage, I was kind of, like, when, like, the whole, like, you know, like the static and all, like the OVE logo was up, and it was kind of like, you know, when he said cut the effects, and it was just normal, and he's like, I didn't mean to take out Eddie Edwards' eye, and that's where he went, that's how this all started, and it's mad to even go back that far. You're like, holy fuck, that is where this whole, like, Sami Callihan going mad and Impact and all that shit started, because he accidentally took out Eddie Edwards' eye, and he's like, I actually didn't mean to do that. It's like, well, you could have mentioned that, like, at the time, I'm sure, you know, we could have sort of fixed
it. Sorry, like.
No, but, like, he went back and went through all the weird, like, all the crazy shit he's done since then, and, like, he tied it into now, and how, like, he just wanted to fit in, he didn't want to be Mr. Evil Badman, but now, that's the Sami Callihan that you're left with, you know what I mean? This is where we're at, and it was really, really good. I highly recommend watching that as well. And I this is obviously spoilers, I've already kind of spoiled a lot, but I was kind of devastated he didn't win the title, and I really thought that's where it was going with that promo as well.
Seems like it.
Yeah, and I'm like, I know Cage is really good and all, but it's like, this would have been really cool. Like, for me, like, I know not everybody's a big Callihan fan, that's fine, but like, for me, I was like, I just feel, especially with Tessa Blanchard, I thought Tessa was gonna like build herself back up and have her beat Sammy, and I was like, you know, for the title, I thought that would have been cool. But obviously, that's a predictable way of doing it. Everybody's kind of thinking, oh, that'd be really cool if they did that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, another cool thing as well, and this is I didn't really want to spoil the ladder match, this is a bit of a spoiler, right? Tessa doesn't win, and like, one cool thing I think they're doing with Tessa is the fact that it's like, she's not winning, they're not just going, oh, she's a hot new thing, win, you know what I mean? It's like, she keeps losing the big matches, and it's kind of like, it makes you cheer for her more. Like, I'm not tired of this Tessa stuff, you know what I mean? Like, this is like, this has been going on for a while now. Tessa turned into this cool fucking badass, and I'm still invested because it's like I want her to get that big fucking win. And it's like, you didn't get the exhibition title, fuck, you know what I mean? Now I'm like, now I'm waiting for the next, you know, big Tessa match, and I'm really into it, you know what I mean? So like, there's a lot. It actually, at the time, I didn't think much of it, but now I'm talking to you, I'm like, I'm actually really looking forward to it. I'm going to watch Impact when I get home, man.
You're selling me a lot of enthusiasm works. Like, you know, it sounds like just proper, like, old school stuff booking, where it's like, you know, sometimes it's just about, like, an interesting decision, a booking decision where it's like, oh no, they lost. You think they're going to win, and they lose.
They do, Impact do that a fair bit, where you, like, you think it's going to go one way, and they just completely swerve you. It's good. I recommend, I know, like, it's hard, because there is a lot of wrestling. Like, you got WWE, AEW, NWA now. Team NWA for life. There'll be a double NWA review next week, don't worry. but, yeah, like, if you're sick for the week, or you're just at home, and you've nothing else to do, you might as well give Impact a go. It's fucking worth it, like.
Yeah, there you go. A strong endorsement. If you've nothing better. It's gross. It's not the best thing of the week, and neither is this. Perhaps controversial, but I don't think when people find out what our number one is, many, at least over here, will disagree. In at number two, let's talk about this week's AEW Dynamite.
I'll accept it being number two this week, just because of OTT. It was a really good show.
Spoilers! Jesus!
Oh, sorry.
Come on!
As if it would be anything else.
I was going to cheer for you on Saturday.
Yeah, that was cool.
I'm sorry, don't cancel me. Oh, I'm really sorry, guys.
Cancel Katie, episode title.
Okay, this is what's so hard about being back in wrestling, just spoiling things left, right, and centre on people. Okay, forget what I said, and let's talk about AEW. We already talked about Jurassic Express and Lucha Bros. We don't need to rehash it. It was great. I loved, much like what Keem was saying there about Impact, they had a really epic video on AEW this week. I don't know if you've seen the Cody video.
Oh yeah, I did. I liked it.
I really liked it as well.
Yeah.
And I love the story they're building for this match, where they're just going a different way with Cody, and they're basically being like embracing the fact, like, yes, he's the boss. Not like a Shane McMahon, like, I'm a heel and I'm going to run things my way. They're showing the actual work he puts in backstage. And they have like all these really well-established wrestlers as talking heads, being like, yeah, like, you know, Chris Jericho shows up to the building and he gets to relax, get some catering, gets to prepare for his match. Meanwhile, Cody Rhodes has had 4 meetings that day. He's talked about a contract. He's met with an investor. And it's just a really cool way of leading up to like what their mindsets will be in the match. Because like, I'm not overly excited about the actual wrestling of Jericho and Cody.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in the story that they're building between them. And this video is just so different and such a different take and really well made that it's kind of getting me hyped for the match.
Mm.
And
you know what, as well, though, sorry, if we're going to move on from Cody, just a note there. I don't dread, again, people have accused me of having grudges against Cody, but I honestly don't. But here's the thing, I don't dread a big Cody match the same way I did maybe when he started wrestling in New Japan. Because it tended just to be like, yeah, that was a grand match. That was like, that's what I'm used to from Cody. That was a grand match. Nothing great, nothing bad. But he does these big matches very well. Every time Cody is in a big match, it ends up, even if you're not looking forward to him, like the Shawn Spears match at All Out, like that ended up being really fun because they overbooked the shit out of it. Or the Nick Aldis match, Cody against Nick Aldis, you say that and you're like, yeah, it's going to be a match. It ended up being a fantastic match. Cody against Dustin as well, possibly match of the year this year. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He tends to, like, he knows what goes into these big matches. He tends to pull it out of the bag. So I'm not dreading this at all. Like, it's not going to be a wrestling classic, but I think they have a plan.
There's going to be enough stuff in it, like, between the inner circle. Now, Brandy's put out a tweet saying that she's not going to accompany him to the ring anymore, which I think is interesting because she's played a big part in the overbooking of the matches.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, the video, like, if they're going to make videos like that for everyone in AEW, like, I'm all for it. Like, it's really, really good, different stuff. Scorpio Sky has to be talked about in AEW.
Mm.
So they have their tag tournament going on. What?
You're another win for your draft picks.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's two facets to this that I'm going to talk about.
This is amazing. Consider, okay, just to set some scene. Last week when we did the draft, okay, the night after we take the draft, NXT, and in the first match in NXT, one of Katie Harvey's big picks, Drew Gulak, immediately lost his belt. We finished taping the show, we did a draft and stuff. Christopher Daniels, one of the people on Katie's team, the next morning, sitting down to watch AEW, first thing that happens,
Christopher Daniels gets taken out with me.
It's hard not to take that personally.
Yeah. Later on in the same show, Luchasaurus out with an injury. we'll ignore my own anger at what happened and talk about like what was good from it. So they've got a tag tournament, and like I love the rule that there's no one allowed at ringside. So like if it's a stable, it's literally only the two wrestlers in the match who are allowed to be there, which I think is really cool. So this was SCU versus Best Friends. So Scorpio Sky was in the back, but they get attacked. Christopher Daniels gets beaten up, he gets taken out, and they just have this really cool moment where like everyone's rushing out to check on him, and I love that anyway because it creates a bit of drama. So I think he was taken out with a pile driver, if I'm right, on the ramp or something. So everyone's checking, is he okay? He's getting stretchered out. The ref is going to call the match, and he's going to give the win to the Best Friends. But Scorpio Sky runs out, and basically, like, you can see him frantically convincing the ref, like, you know, like, I'm in this team, like, just let me sub in, like, I won't be, like, no one's at ringside, let me sub in, let me do the match. So he lets him. Best part is for me, right, he's getting hyped up for the match, rips off his top, he's going to wrestle in his just his street trousers, and then panics, stops, goes to a trainer bag, is looking after Christopher Daniels to find wrist tape. And it's the most pro wrestler thing ever. When you're backstage, there's always at least one pro wrestler frantically looking for wrist tape.
That was me.
And I just love that little touch, like that's all he needed to prepare was to get his wrist tape on. And they just built the whole match around him. Like the guy who wasn't supposed to be in the match, and he looked like a superstar all the way through it. It was really, really good. It was basically like a handicap match because Kazarian didn't get in that much either. One tiny thing that bothered me, Christopher Daniels took a pile driver, taken out in a match. One of the transitional moves in the first 2 minutes when the match actually got started was a pile driver.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's not great. Like, yeah. He could have just done another move there. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Fair point.
Because he's been taken out. Like, yeah. He might be out of my draft for good now. Who knows?
Not that you're sold here.
But again, like I was talking earlier about how they need to build stars that aren't WWE or New Japan, and I think they're doing that in the tag division because the tag matches are just brilliant and they're really getting people over. And
it's a really basic, unique selling point to build around as well, because it's something that nobody's really doing that well.
Yeah.
And it's something that's so easily done well. Like, so if you're going to be like, right, so in the same way TNA, the old TNA, you see X Division is their unique selling point. Now the Knockouts Division too, they can just use tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
Because no one else like puts that as a central thing. Yeah.
And they've been really clever, the teams they've picked.
Yeah.
They've just picked a lot of different teams, but are just like styles clashing, but in a really good way.
Yeah. And so, they're all really well defined as well, or well rounded. You get them as soon as you see them.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's got a character. I think that's why I love it so much. It reminds me of when NXT started, and you would tune every week, not because you knew what was going on, but because you wanted to see like what character was debuting.
Yeah.
You wanted to see like what the storylines were going to start out as.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of that really fresh time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just another really good episode.
Mm. Yeah, no, they nailed it. But it was not the best thing of the week, and I don't think, like I said, many people will disagree when we talk. Wait for it, guys, wait for it. Best thing of the week, number one, let's talk about OTT.
That is, I know, brand new information.
Here's the thing, this was, I don't know if it was going to be number one, and then last night this one got made really easy. Already I had, like, I was prepared to talk about, like, just David Starr's interview with Angle, which I thought was genius, because, like, what I love about this feud is just the shades of grey, and just the, like, the little bits that are, like, kind of, what I liked about this interview was, both characters continue to be the exact same characters they always been. What's changed was us,
and how we've evolved around this, you know what I mean? Now, not even that we've changed sides, because I know Keane, you know what I mean, you're still like kind of, you're still in, kind of entrenched in your kind of standpoint, and we will discuss that and how we feel about it as we go on. But what's changed is us. We're the ones revolving around, we're the ones orbiting this, you know, and seeing it from a different angle. So Engo is doing the exact same thing that Engo used to do, where he's like just being like Mr. Jordan Devlin. He's essentially his hype man at this stage. But now it's coming across as grating and annoying. And I don't say that, like, that's not a shot at Engo. He's playing his part really well here. It's working, because we need him to be, because ultimately David Starr, who's been this little shit since the start, all of a sudden, like, the words he's saying are just, like, making more sense to us, even though he's cutting the same promo that we were booing a year ago, you know what I mean? And then when Engo's, like, cheering on Jordan Devlin, it's just, like, it's just really subtle things. Like, Engo is, like, just being, like, 5% more Engo being Jordan Devlin's cheerleader, you know what I mean? And because he's just doing that little 5%, he's just crossing a line, and then that makes him more annoying. And then you're like, why are you getting tick with him? Like, be professional and fucking interview the guy, you know what I mean? Why are you getting angry with him? Like, just let the guy have his feet. You're supposed to do an interview. You don't have to agree with everyone, but like, cop on and stop like having a little strut there in your seat, like, you know what I mean? You're watching him going that, and then Star looks composed and reserved, and then he gets to have the higher ground, and that makes him more likable to us. So it just, it's not even telling us which way to go, it's just, it's not even manipulating us, it's just letting characters double down on their stance and then letting us feel how we feel. It's really subtle, nuanced, like, but totally loyal to the storyline as it's always been. Then last night they sold the place out, if it hadn't been already. They sold the stadium with another Sean Ryan masterpiece. Like, we're running out of words we can use to describe Sean Ryan's work. Everyone is. And everyone, like, blows up Twitter every time, and we all have a go at trying to find new ways to compliment Sean Ryan. But he's just a genius. We're watching the best in the world at work here. That package of Devlin against Starr, holy fucking shit, like. Just how it just... like, what I thought was interesting, I was like, how do you distill this feud and these guys' stances into a 3-4 minute package? That's what I was wondering. I'm like, how do you make a Sean Ryan package about this, where, like, there's so much in-ring action and in-ring history, you have to tell that story, but also as well, like, it's so much about, like, their ideologies and their words and their promos. Like, that's a fucking... it's a thing David Starr had to take a 7-8 minute interview with Engo to kind of establish what his stance was. But they did it, and even like the little creative ways, like, and I saw someone on Twitter, I can't remember who, I apologise, but I saw someone on Twitter like making a really good point. The background of David Starr's kind of, when he was saying his piece, was black turning into white, and the background of Devlin's was white turning into black, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh man, they're just... but then it's like, you know, at the end, and the big twist at the end was Devlin, like, it's Devlin versus Starr, and then Devlin's name just becomes Devil. But, like, I'm not sure why, like, I'm not sure what he said or what he's done that's made him evil, or, like, that's, like, it's just, it's planting seeds in our head that something's gonna happen. Something's gonna happen here. Like, oh, we think we know what it is, we think we can read it, but we can't. Like, what is it? What is the thing that's gonna happen? What, how are they gonna twist this? Like, you know, is Jordan... we'll discuss it. We're going to get to our show preview now. But, like, is Jordan going to turn heel? Like, but, like, now you've made that a bit obvious. You know what I mean? So, like, I believe you don't necessarily... I don't think you're necessarily going to go that way now. You know what I mean? Or what are you going to do? How is he going to necessarily turn heel? Like, what's... where is this going? Like, it's just... all the seeds planted, like this video, lads. Like,
I'm so excited.
He's just smiling.
The more I watch my head. No, but seriously, the more you talk about it, oh my god, like, it's just starting to sink in. This is on Saturday, and it's Wednesday. In like 3 days, we get to see this, and it's gonna be the maddest shit. The atmosphere is gonna be fucking... oh, when they play the video before the match. You know, before the entrances?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I cannot fucking wait. It's all kicking in. It's just kicking in now. It's gonna be so good. Like, I can pretend like I'm not, I'm fucking buzzing, like.
Will we get on to discussing the show?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Right. Six man tag, import tag. I don't like it's gonna be fine. I don't think we're gonna do a prediction league on Facebook. Has anyone got anything?
Team Callum Black. Team Callum Black slash Killer Cross slash baby.
Like it's gonna be a really good match. I don't mean to do it at a service, it's just like it's just
a grand scheme of things, yeah. So there's a lot on our mind.
There's a lot going on here, so like this is like gonna be a cool match, and that's ultimately we need this
that's
on the card.
You need
like something where you just switch your brain off for a while, because there's gonna be a lot of emotion that's in this card. Notwithstanding our bleeding co-host here as well. There's a lot on this. But like, yeah, let's get through the card one by one. Alright, let's talk about Eddie Kingston against Terry Thatcher. Go on, yeah, this is all you.
This is the hardest one to predict. This is like bollocks, man.
This is one of the ones I'm most looking forward to.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I just think Terry is due like that big moment. Mm. Like I'm so excited. Like I just think this is gonna blow the roof off the place.
Is the gender neutral title still around?
This is what I was all like. This is my only thing with this, like, because like, look, I'm not that familiar with Eddie Kingston. You know, I haven't seen that much. He's in the NWA Power, isn't he?
Yeah,
like I've seen that's pretty much like I've seen bits of him there, and I've seen like bits of him around and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to being exposed to him, because like you get that from OTT sometimes where it's like a name you're vaguely familiar with, and then you see them in OTT, and then you're like, I get it. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking forward to having that moment. But this kind of like, there's also a part of me that's like, I know it probably wasn't possible, but I would love to see this be Thatcher Haskins. Or is it okay to just have, will this be Thatcher's big win?
But then also you have to look at it as like, would Thatcher Haskins, which is a fucking huge, like, if it was to be, you know, Thatcher beating Haskins and finally get the title, would it be overshadowed on a show like this?
Yeah, where
there's so much happening right now where it's like, yeah. Eddie Kingston is literally one of my favourite wrestlers on the planet. He's on the wall, he's on the Corporate Keen wall, but then, so's Terry Thatcher. His scarf is right at the door, I don't know if you noticed that. But, I'm so torn on this. Because I always think, like, if an import wins, technically, they should be coming back at some point, you know what I mean? But then, like, I don't know. I'm so torn on this. I genuinely, why do you have to do this to me? It's like, I see, the way I look at it is kind of like, again, they're not branding it as Ireland versus the world, but it's like, it is though. Like, it's like there's an Irish person in every match. Look at that.
That's deadly, by the way. Yeah. Like, I seen someone talk about that earlier, and they're like, that's crazy. When you think about 3-4 years ago, where the complaint was, it's all imports.
Yeah.
Like,
but also as well, like, look at the kind of main four matches. Do you know what I mean? You're talking about Devon Starr. Would you even call him an import? He's just a regular now. He's one of the OTT. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's OTT roster.
You know, you've got yourself and Valkyrie. That's two Irish. You know what I mean? You've got Mustache Mountain again. They're like, I know they're now NXT UK, but like they're still OTT old school. They're like their OTT roster more than hype. And you've got LJ Scotty. They're the four big matches that are on this, and they're like all like regulars. You know what I mean? They're all like people that have been built in OTT. Like, that's fucking cool. That is cool. Who we going with for this match? You gotta pick
Thatcher.
Oh, I can't go against Thatcher, but I can't go against Kingston.
Like, it's in OTT. It's not Kingston in general. It's not like pick your favourite wrestler.
I know.
Who do you think's gonna win this match?
No, I know. Well, what if Kingston ends up like shanking me then? You know what I mean? But then if Thatcher loses, that could make me sad.
I'm supporting friend of the show, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned him in a few weeks. Like, I think we all.
I'm gonna lean towards Terry, but I haven't. Like, that's such a fucking tough one. Like, but yeah, I want Terry. No, keep that momentum going. Get that gender neutral title. Fuck it, yeah. Go on, Terry.
There you go.
That hurts though.
Orange Cassidy takes on Be Cool. I a lot of people have been saying like, oh, I think I know where this is going and stuff like that. I don't, like, I've no idea like what this is building towards. I can't wait though, because I'm all in on all of this.
I don't know how you could predict anything that either of them are going to do. I don't understand. Like, I have seen like really outlandish things on Twitter, and I'm like, I still don't think that's mad enough.
Yeah,
like, it's gonna be mental.
Yeah. I really want there to be, because obviously we don't have Angel Cruz, that we know of, we don't have Angel Cruz on this show. I hope there's still going to be an extra video. I hope there's one extra Be Cool.
It's just recorded on like a Nokia.
I hope that's not a thing we lose now Angel Cruz is gone. If like we don't get like maybe one last cameo as well, people are talking about that as a possibility, I don't know. I hope we get one thing. Will we see Joe in this match? Like he's a like him and B Girl have built this match.
That would tie in.
Could we see like, you know, Orange Cassidy is like gonna bail from this match, B Girl's getting the better of him, and Joe just comes out at the end just like, go on. That's like his thing, that's his move. Where does this ring? Yeah. Any kind of prediction is it,
well,
I think Orange Cassidy's winning, I'm gonna go with that.
I've noticed that there is an exclusion on this card. Weekly Justy mentioned. Justy. And he's on Twitter, he's talking a lot of, you know, like about getting, you know, booked and stuff like that. And I feel like are him and BK still scrapping? Like, I know are they kinda moved past that?
It'd be cool if we got a reunion. I'll be into that.
Oh,
a reunion?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. But then I also think Orange Cassidy's probably still winning though.
I think he's gonna be like someone we're gonna see a fair bit more of,
like, just
not like become a full regular, but like we're gonna see him semi regular.
Justy or no Justy, I still feel like Orange Cassidy's winning this, so yeah. I'm gonna go Orange Cassidy.
Okay,
yeah,
you go.
Orange Cassidy.
Good stuff. It'd be an interesting one. I can't wait. I cannot wait for that match. Like, that's going to fly under the radar. That's like, do you remember the Hurricane match at the last episode?
Yeah.
And you remember, I don't know about you, but I forgot. Like, slipped my mind when it happened at the stadium, because there's just a lot. We're focusing on Devon Walter. Yeah. And then, like, they played the video. I'm like, oh my God. And then, like, I'm so blown up by the video that I'm like, oh my God, there's a match. Oh my God, the Hurricane's here. I think it's going to be like one of those kind of things. We're going to forget about it on the night. And we're going to be like, holy shit. And that could be the thing we end up talking about by the end.
Do you know what I love about this is that, like, this whole show is that, like, every single match on this show, you know where they pop the graphic up on screen and some matches get a pop and some don't? This, like, every match on this card is like, yeah, it's time for this one. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing where you're like, oh, this is like a piss break, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything is just fucking I can't wait. Like,
Gorillaz of Destiny take on the Kings of the North in what some people would say is an indie tag team dream match.
Ooh.
Interesting. Kings of the North allowed back in Dublin, let's say nothing. Gorillaz of Destiny, but who cares? Like,
nobody's complaining about the Kings being left back into Dublin, because it's like everyone wants to see this match. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's fine.
Yeah. This match, because fuck it. Yeah. Exactly. And as well, though, like, it makes sense in kayfabe. Do you know what I mean? We're in a world where we know Joe is like the boss and stuff like that. Could Joe not say, yeah, I want to see this?
Look, Brexit. They got the Irish passports and stuff. They're back down. We'll just accept it. It's gonna lead to some class.
Oh my God! I know they don't do comedy, but imagine a video of getting stopped on the border on the way back up.
But this match again. I always have a habit going, like, you know, with OTT lads for every single prediction. You know what I mean? But like, somebody in force have to win, and I feel like Gorillaz of Destiny could win this.
Yeah,
I feel like, oh man, like, I love Tama Tonga. I actually wouldn't mind seeing him win, to be honest. I'm gonna go with Gorillaz of Destiny. Or God, as Katie calls him.
Are the gods in this match?
Yeah. Are they? Like, did he call him God or?
I think that God will win too. just because, I don't know, I think the Kings need a reason to fight their way back into Dublin and stay there. So I think they'll. Think they'll win.
Okay, interesting. What if God was one of us? I'm picking them too. Let's go on to the big four at ladder match time. Oh my fucking God. Is this nailed on? What would you go for the opener? Would you go Kingston Thatcher or would you go this?
Oh, I'd have gone with the import tag match.
No, I think that's a breeder match. That's like second or third when you want, like, you want to switch the crowd off and you want them to just rebuild.
See,
for another match.
I wouldn't put I'd go with Kingston Thatcher then, because for me it's like the ladder match is kind of like, you know, when you see loads of wrestling matches and then you're like, but this is a ladder match. And I kind of like, you're like, whoa.
When you need the crowd to inject,
again, it's a very, like, there's been, I don't think there's ever been ladder match in the National Stadium. Yeah. I was saying this before the show started, like, I've been to how many shows, I don't even know how many shows at this stage. I've only ever seen like one ladder match, I think, live, and it was like AWR.
I think I've seen a couple. I've seen one in the Moat Theatre, and it was Omen versus Phil the Thrill versus Tucker versus Anthony Idol and Duncan Disorderly, and it was 45 minutes long.
Of course it was.
Yeah, it was so long that like some of the lads who got knocked out and like rolled out for the finish had made their way, got dressed, and came up to the box to watch the end. It was a really good match, though. I really enjoyed it. And I've seen Sean Guinness against someone have a ladder match in like Talla.
Yeah, that's the one I would have seen. Sean Guinness. Yeah, it was Sean Guinness against Paddy M against Joe.
I don't love to know ladder matches. Maybe he'll run up the ladder and take the end of the title.
This is like, yeah, like it's such it, because no, but we've never seen these guys in this kind of context. Scotty Davis, like, the mind boggles of what he can do with ladders. LJ as well, like, LJ's like, you know what I mean? But also, we're not used to seeing LJ like in this kind of, like, you know what I mean, fucking mental kind of spot fest side of mind. It's not like, it's not the style he rests, so, but like, you know that he's got like a whole locker of stuff in there, you know what I mean? He's got a great mind for wrestling, so like his imagination and stuff. Oh man, these
what if one of them ran up straight away to grab the title? And
Scotty could do that,
they're
though,
very fast.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've already had a chat with LJ and I've asked him to keep it safe.
Are you worried?
I always am with ladder matches.
Yeah, yeah. Will you be able to watch this match live?
No.
Right.
Ah.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm actually wondering how much of the show I will get to see live.
This is true.
Because I don't know where my match is on the card. Shout out to Declan. Thank you for suggesting myself and Valkyrie main event. That was very sweet. I'm very much looking forward to watching the main event. Yeah. Very much looking forward
to
that.
You're like, first, nice one.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a really interesting one because, like, I have seen ladder matches in Ireland, but, like, I think this is going to be, like, Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels. I think it's going to be a clever ladder match.
Yeah.
That's really exciting, but makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be an absolute, like, crazy, like, fucking Hardy Boys, Young Bucks, like, you know what I mean? Like, going out. And I think, what, like, I think that's good. It's going to be better for it.
Yeah.
Like, these two guys, like, fucking know each other. And you know what I mean? These two guys are trained with each other. You know, these guys, like, they're going to have, like, shit that they want to do. You know what I mean? There's a lot of this. Yeah.
I'm so excited, lad. But, oh, my God.
But who do we think is winning?
LJ, go on. Go on, that.
Isn't it mad to think you could see every member more than Hype walk out with gold?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to go for LJ as well. So let's talk about it. Are we going to see a clean sweep for more than Hype?
Yeah.
More than Hype against Mustache Mountain. OTT tag belts on the line, I presume.
Yeah.
Alright, so who have we got? Are we going to see a clean sweep?
Yeah.
Morton
Hype are going to smack Mustache Mountain around. Do you know what I mean? Like, with LJ and Scotty, I'm like, oh, you know, Scotty, you might steal it, you know? You never know with you. It's like, it's kind of 50-50, but I'm cheering LJ. Do you know what I mean? Whereas this, I'm like, the lads have it. You know, fuck Mustache Mountain, man. They don't stand a chance. They wrestled in Belfast. They've learned a lot from that match.
Yeah.
And are taking it to Dublin. They're going to fucking kill them. It's going to be great.
I love those storylines where it's lads keep coming back. They're the old foe, the people they couldn't beat. They beat them convincingly the first time. It wasn't much of a contest, and we were pissed then. Do you remember? But now it makes us so much better because we're like, "Fucking yeah, they're gonna do it this time." You know what I mean? Again, that's the basis of a star against Walter. You know what I mean? And look how effective it can be done when done right. I think this is the big one. Now let's do. I want to see a clean sweep, but sure. We will see. Right, let's talk about it. Main event, many people's main event. This was the match that made me put down money to see this, and I think a lot of people will be the same. Katie Harvey, Valkyrie. Question is, we're doing a prediction league. Are you going over?
I'm going to try really hard to win.
Right, okay.
I'm really going to try. I'm doing this.
Like, little Easter egg for are you winning though? Like, wrestling's fake, you know, like, are you gonna win? Like, Blink won the.
She blinked! I don't get told things like that.
Yeah, what are you talking about, man? I don't get it.
I'm gonna try really hard. on, you know, just, I want to make Bam Neely proud.
Bam Neely. It's, yeah, it's like, again, like, what more can we add to this match? It's you against your, like, former best friend, like, biggest rival. It's got to be, at some parts, it's got to be a dream, like, that you two guys are getting to do this. But there's a bittersweet, because obviously there's a history there as well, and not a pleasant recent history as well. So, but how's it all coming together in your head as you head into Saturday, like specifically towards this match? You standing across the ring with Valkyrie in the stadium. Are you going to cry, Sarita?
No, I was just thinking, it's such like a... Are you going to cry?
I was like, uh-oh. I'm just going to walk away and leave you with Keane. And no. Keane's going to be like, there.
I'm not going to cry, but I did have the beginnings of an existential crisis there. No, it's mad because like genuinely we had that defiant match. And we went to the pub afterwards because we were still friends. And we were like both really happy with the match. And we said, like, imagine doing that at the stadium. Imagine having that match at the stadium. Like, people always say to me, like, oh, who are your dream matches? Who do you want to wrestle when you come back? My answer is always the Irish girls. Because it means more to me to have a massive match like this with an Irish girl than it would be with, like, an NXT UK person or, like an import, you know what I mean? Because, like, again, I've come from a scene that didn't have this. So the fact that one of the biggest matches I've ever had on a massive card in Ireland is two girls who came from Fight Factory is blowing my mind.
Just the car,
yeah, window.
Like, no, but this is the co main event. Like, it has to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is like, you know, up there with Devlin Starr. You know what I mean? In terms of like, this is my, not again, sorry, not to like totally keep sex with that. Again, once the bell rings, you've done it, you're back.
Like, it has a reason to happen.
Yeah, it's all worked out. How could, like, oh my god, like the timing of this, like, it's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Valkyrie's the champion. You happened to be ready on time. Not a guarantee.
Oh, look, I did not think it was gonna work out like this. Like, hand on my heart, I did not lick them. I had an idea, like I told you, I text Joe about 6 months after the accident saying, like, I'd like to do a spot on Defiant. I actually was going to suggest managing Amy Alonzi or something, just to get me onto the card. I didn't think I'd be ready to wrestle, never mind at Defiant, never mind the night before at the stadium.
And, like, the party has got to feel that, like, do you know what, like, I don't know if you're religious or anything like that, but, like, or if you believe in a karma or a destiny or something like that, but, like, there's a lot going on here, like, and like part of you, like, I don't know, just part of you, like, feel good about that, where you're like, look, this is fucking meant to be.
Oh yeah,
like,
no,
everything's after clicking into place here, like
I believe in karma big time, which is why all the way through my recovery I tried to stay positive, I tried to be nice, I tried not to get angry, I didn't, you know, like all that. I was trying to be very good all the way through because I do believe in karma. And I do believe that's helped a lot with making me recover so quickly.
Like, and the fact that this is your comeback match as well, like, do you know what I mean? There's no fear of it kind of flying under the radar. Like, you know, some matches have at, like, the stadium and stuff like that when they were building kind of the women's division and stuff. Like, this has earned its spot. It's a big match. Everyone's going to feel the big match kind of vibe to it as well. Like, it's like everything has just clicked into place. It couldn't all have worked out better. Like, Jesus Christ, it must have almost been worth getting injured just to fucking have this, like,
making a pop.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? But, right, since you're not going to tell us, she did blink once when I said, you got off resonance. She didn't. Keane, your thoughts. Are you going to next week be the co-OTT women's champion?
Do you think you're going to win?
Like, you've got prediction leagues.
Yeah, but like, Katie, do you think that, like, do you think, like you've got what it takes to beat her? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, fair
enough. It's weird doing predictions when the person's in the room.
I think it's steady, I love it. I think it's more fun, like.
I think we've got an emotional roller coaster at the end where a lot of people are going to be like happy, unhappy and stuff like that. I think there needs to be one big cathartic moment. I think, you know, it'd be great to have the morning hype and stuff like that. I don't think that necessarily like has a stadium show catharsis, you know. It'll have something.
Catharsis,
it'll mean
a
lot.
Big word. You have to use some
it'll mean stuff. A lot, like where catharsis is where you're like, Jordan Devlin beating Walter, and you're like, yes, you know what I mean?
That's I need to work for that.
Yeah. That's what I mean. We need something like that, and I think that like there's no finish in Devlin Starr which will give us that. It'll be an emotive finish, and we'll be on the train. You know what I mean? No matter what happens, but there's no finish where it'll keep everyone happy. I think we need a big moment for this stadium show. I think that's it. I think next week I'm going to be introducing you on Low Blows as the new OTD Women's Champion.
I really hope Kate doesn't let us down. Like, that'll actually be like my expectations are so high. If you don't match them, we'll be really upset. So will everyone else. All 2,000 plus people will be really upset.
Jesus. Stop! Stop! Be nice for once.
Sorry.
Like I'd never. Never say this, but fuck, man.
So, like, you know who's like the same as Keane right now?
Who?
My dad. Like, I put a training video in our family group, and he's like, you didn't fuck up at least. It's like, thanks.
Amazing. In the main event,
shit.
Jordan Devlin defends the OTT Heavyweight Championship against David Starr. What more can we say about this match that has not happened already? Corporate Keane, you've kind of got excited, but let's talk about where you lie, how you feel, what's going into this.
Right, first of all, this whole narrative that Jordan Devlin's the villain is bullshit, right? Everybody fucking, like, talking shit about Devlin. Like, where were they when he first signed that contract? You know what I mean? They were saying shit. It's only when David Starr comes out, they're all like, oh, actually, yeah, no, I've always cared. No, you didn't. Like... I'm not turning against Devlin. I do, I admit, I do want Starr to win. Because I don't want, it's not even because they work for WWE, because, you know, it's immoral or whatever the fuck. It's more so like,
the practicalities.
I just don't want like a champion that might get pulled from like a like imagine those NXT tapings the same night as this. You know what I mean? Like, that would be horrifying. Like, so for that reason, yeah, I would like if no champion in OTT was like a WWE or a contracted whatever. But that doesn't mean Devlin's the villain. I don't really buy this whole thing. Everyone's saying like, oh, Devlin's gonna beat fucking Devlin's gonna beat Starr, and then he's gonna grab the mic and say, I'm the devil. It's like, I don't get it. How? Why? That seems to be a lot of people are saying Devlin's gonna win, which is really interesting because like when the match was announced, when it was heading that way like months ago, everyone was saying, oh, Starr's clearly gonna win. I still think Starr's clearly gonna win. But yeah, the way he hyped it up, I really do think like I'll just go back to that video pack for a minute. The symbolism of like the Tivoli. I know like we jump about like
WWE.
Yeah, I know we jump about
that. The Tivoli. Is that what they're saying? I think that's what they're saying.
But the symbolism of that was fucking phenomenal. And it's like I do, like, it's interesting because you're like, what way, like, yeah, they're, like, I don't know, like, they're hinting, you know, like, Devlin's bad guy and all that, but, like, I still just don't view him that way. I just don't see how, like, the lad that I was screaming to beat Walter, you know what I mean? Like, how all of a sudden he's now the enemy because David Starr came in. It's like, when I hear, like, Devlin in a promo being like, Starr came in and he brainwashed everyone, I'm like, yeah, actually, he kind of did. Like, I look around, and like, all the hardcore stuff, hardcore fans are like right under his fucking, well, I don't know the phrase, but...
Thumb.
Yes, they...
What like, else can he be under?
I don't know, that's what I was saying. I was like, but does that make, what's under the thumb mean? Is that like, he's like controlling
the thumb's small, so like if you're under it, you're considerably smaller.
So is he like controlling them?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
I think someone had a really strong thumb.
Oh. Why would they have a strong thumb? Why choose to make that point in the like?
I don't know. Like, if you're a giant or something, I don't know.
No.
So yeah, I was so passionate about Devlin, Walter, Devlin, everyone, and I still love Devlin to bits. So it's not the villain for me, but my pick is David Starr.
Okay.
Because I do want it to happen reluctantly. Like, this is the thing. The reason I'm looking forward to this match is it's gonna be like Walter Starr, where it's like, I'm going to be soaking it in, like, the atmosphere. Like, I'm going to be feeling something, but I don't know what it's going to be. Because it's like, I'm not booing Devlin, but I also do secretly want Starr to win.
Well, you don't know if, like, you're going to feel that way by the end of the match.
Exactly. Like Walter Starr, I was like, surely we're all going to be cheering Walter. I know, like, he's, like, less of a prick than Starr. So, like, that's how that's going to work. Yeah. And it just didn't. Everyone was, like, in the moment, everyone's like, actually, I want to see Starr beat Walter. I want to say I was here for that. You know what I mean?
Devlin hits a package pile driver. Starr kicks out at 2. Devlin gets pissed off. Shoves Foxy. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about that, Jordan. Now you're frustrated, but that's Foxy.
Yeah, even if he starts like cheating and stuff, it's like, you need to resort to cheating. You're meant to be, you know, the import.
Remember
kid.
Austin in WrestleMania 17? Just starting to put a little. Not the time.
We nearly made a whole show.
Like, what, do you remember he just started doing little things? Just like, what are you doing? Like, not even like heathens. You're like still cheering him.
Yes, like,
you're like, oh, I feel like that more ambiguous about that. Yeah.
Keenan as a toddler feeling morally ambiguous.
He's like, that's a bit all Devlin. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have stabbed him to death in the middle of the ring. That was a bit ambiguous. It's like, he's having so excited for the match. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but like, I love Devlin too. Bits, one of my favourite wrestlers on the planet, but I'm picking Star. Okay. Reluctantly.
Fair. Katie, how are you feeling about this?
I'm still on Team Jordan. Okay. I don't know, like, this just reminds me of like what we were saying about Daniel Bryan earlier about like the slow transition of roles.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get a heel or a face turn. I don't think we're going to get that clearly established. Yeah. And I don't think we should. Like, I don't think it will be a case of like Jordan taking out Foxy with a chair or something. Yeah, you know, like
the reaction. Just imagine the reaction, like,
And then we finally get Devlin and Foxy on the next show.
But yeah, the match we wanted. Like, Tommy McNulty is red. Yes, give me that.
I'm really excited. I'm still on Team Jordan. I think everything David Starr is saying is so interesting.
Mm.
But like, I don't know, there's something about like like we were saying, like, I've watched Jordan battle, I've watched him raise the profile of Irish wrestling.
Yeah,
he's still
like,
my guy, like.
But there's also a lot, just because David Starr says some interesting things as well, this is something I really want to like point out. It's like, just doesn't make it accurate, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's saying that because he's, you know, he is saying some smart things. He composes himself pretty well, as you were saying earlier. He sounds smart, but not everything he's saying is legit. I don't buy the whole thing of they're selling you a pipe dream. You're not going to be wrestling at WrestleMania. I think Devin will be wrestling at WrestleMania at some point. I don't think everyone in NXT UK will. I don't think, like, no offense to like Saxon Huxley or one of them. You know what I mean? but like, I put Devin up there with, like, do you think Zach Gibson's going to wrestle at Mania?
I could see it.
I could see it.
It's not guaranteed.
Look, it's not guaranteed.
I could see him wrestling Access WrestleMania week, and that's the first step, like.
Yeah, and like, it's not, it won't happen tomorrow, it'll happen next year, maybe not even the year after, or the year after, it'll happen. You know what I mean? Like, in my opinion, I don't think, like, a lot of the stuff he's saying, it's not all accurate, you know what I mean? But it's presented really well. It's presented in a way where, if you're not critically thinking while watching it, you think, yeah, that's a good point. But it's not all a good point. You know what I mean?
But if you critically think about what Jordan said, everyone just went over, like, Jordan made a really good point. It's like, how many tryouts have you had?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's such a good counterpoint, because it's like, yeah, you would take this in a second. Are you just this way because you're fucking salty about it?
Yeah.
You know, and that's like a really, but this is like, this is where I love it, because there's an element of realism in there, because it's like, it's even if not like, even if they don't like feel that way, do you know what I mean? Like, that's a story within wrestling where it's like, that's a real thing that wrestlers feel.
Yeah.
Where it's like, someone goes to WWE and gets successful, it's like you sold out, and maybe there's an element of that in there, but maybe it's also true that the other person's jealous of them. There's not one right or wrong way with it, you know what I mean? And there's like, you know, would you take this opportunity if you had it? And it's like, maybe David Starr actually would, maybe he's just never got the offer, or maybe he now has convinced himself that he feels so strongly about this way that it's like, that's a real wrestling story. Whether like they're just really well playing it and portraying it, or like whether there's an element of realism where they're like, because we know they've been good mates, like they're genuinely like we're close, but at the same time, like, you know, when you're close to someone, you can like touch on the nerves, you can get in the nitty gritty, because you know that person inside out, so you can do those dirty kind of things. This is fucking art, like.
I completely forgot David Starr turned on Jordan Devlin. What a prick, man. It's gone so far beyond that now. It's almost like that never even happened, almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, but yeah, that's why they, oh my god, like.
And like, look, more people right now are making a full-time living from wrestling because of WWE than ever before. There's more people making a living the way Jordan is on NXT contracts and UK contracts than are making a living like David Starr as an independent pro wrestler. Like, that's an important distinction as well.
And also, that was almost a year ago when Starr turned on Devlin. That, I thought that was like 4 or 5 months ago. In my head, I was, as you were talking, I was adding it up, I was like, it was November. It's October. Like, what the fuck? That's been such a journey we've been on. Like,
so we got Kane's pick. Katie Harvey. Who Devlin. Are you picking to win?
Devlin.
You want to, yeah. And you think he's going to win?
Yeah.
Okay, right. I am going to pick David Starr. I think practicalities will often ruin the day. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to know what's going to happen. I don't even want to think about what's going to happen too much. I don't think that we know enough about this story to know what's going to happen. I think this story hasn't been told. I think there's a final chapter and two fucking artists are going to go out there in a main event on Saturday night in a national fucking stadium sold out, and they are going to tell us their fucking story because they have a story to tell. It's going to be class. I cannot fucking wait. Saturday night, national stadium, guys. Can't wait. Yeah, let's just go fucking do this. Guys, we've talked for long enough. We got to go. We're going to have our slow blows on Friday. We're going to get to your questions. Katie, bring the goal home. We want to be announced. Yeah, OTD Women's Champion, but it's going to go great no matter what. Good luck on Saturday, and yeah, try not to like dry heave on the floor. Like,
dry heaves are fine. Comes up.
Good luck Saturday. But until then, Corporate Keen, you've got a video coming up on YouTube as well.
Yeah, hopefully next Tuesday, but you know. Just watch Scrapmania. That's more important right now. That's
the like... anniversary. And Defiant on Sunday. Jesus Christ, that's so much wrestling.
Oh my god, yeah! Oh, wait, oh, then I might not get this video done. Fuck, yeah.
Defiant on Sunday in the National Stadium too, so check that out. Can't wait. You dress for a weekend of wrestling. Can't wait to be back next week discussing it all. Hopefully, sitting beside the OTT Women's Champion. But anyway, guys, until then, for Corporate Keeper, Katie Harvey, I've been Rick Nash. That's the bottom line. Because Loblo said so.